about.
I think you should unbutton your pants.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Sometimes you don't know what your life is like, box of chocolate, right, Bean?
I really wish you'd learn to filter your thoughts a little bit better. That'd be really helpful.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the first commercial radio broadcast from KDKA in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I'm your host, Jebediah Ryder. And KDKA, it's a very long time fan. Hope you be it. Some now good time good music.
If we stop this cruel game and allow the boy to keep one shred of dignity, for God's sakes, I can't stand to see him in all this pain. You vicious bastards!
And now.
Yes! 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 Yes!
Our feature presentation.
I gotta tell you, I gave up on dignity a long time ago, just so you know.
That's a good choice. Why torture yourself?
It's not worth the effort.
Yeah.
You know?
I hear you.
It's good to hear Chris Farley from the DirecTV commercials on the air, though. I enjoy that guy. That guy's work. He needs a new movie, though. I haven't seen much of him lately.
He's not as available as he once was.
Oh, really? He's busy. Got a busy schedule, does he?
Yeah.
Your telephone calls are coming up at 1-800-520-1067. That's the number for Kevin Bean's What to Do Nephew. You give us a call. You get on the air. We give you a prize. You know we're into the month of Blovember now, which means that everything you look at, you now filter through the prism of, hey, would that be a good Christmas gift for someone on my list?
That's exactly right. Yes.
Yeah. You're looking at everything.
Yeah. You started that? That was a real sneeze, by the way, people. I know.
So I got an email yesterday, and I thought, man, is this awesome? Is this an awesome gift that he'll love, and it's so cheap for Psycho Mike?
Yes.
Hey, Kevin, I mean, longtime fan. I have to let you know about a new iPhone app that has just been released. It's called the Poo Log. The Poo Log. Yes, you heard right. Based on the best-selling book, What's Your Poo Telling You? The Poo Log has everything you need for that special time. A digital timer, a journal, graphs, medically accurate info, and even quizzes and fascinating facts about poo.
Wow. That is so
that
up
has
your
everything.
Alley.
I have the iPhone sitting at home that I don't use. I will activate it and use it specifically
just for
the Poo Log. Yeah, totally.
Doesn't it sound like something that would be great for Psycho Mike? And I don't know how much this app is. You know, a lot of them are, 99 cents, $1.99, $2.99. Who knows what this one is?
Priceless.
But priceless for a guy like Psycho Mike who studies, measures, bags, and then saves carefully his poo in a warehouse. I mean, it seems like this would be great.
Yep. I think it's a great idea.
I'm going to get it for him, too.
Yeah, me too.
I don't think you can have too many of them.
I don't know why a guy needs to save his poo, but Mike thinks that everything that comes out of him is so precious that he doesn't ever want to throw anything or flush anything away. So I guess that's the deal there. But that What's Your Poo Telling You apparently is a sensation. Apparently that is a book that has sold many, many, many copies from people who study that stuff.
I'm going to go with no.
It's true.
Yeah. All right.
I've thumbed through that and also who est that.
Yes.
It's a book about different species and
what.
Oh, so it's named that poo.
It's kind
basically.
Of basically. It rhymes with fat, and it's the past tense of the S word.
Right.
Right, I got you. But I mean, the concept of the book is you look at a picture and you go, hey, is that a raccoon or is that a cheetah, right?
And then it shows the picture of that species and it gives you kind of a rundown of why their excrement looks like that and what they eat and their diet. And
oh, Mike. Really?
This is,
it's awesome.
Oh, yeah. My God.
Yeah, let's.
A little less talking to Mike and a little more. And a little more anything else.
Hey, I told you he thinks everything that comes out of him is precious. I told you that.
Yep. Time for your phone call.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or a 1.
What it do, what it do, what it do.
What it do, nephew?
So, what it do?
What it do, nephew?
All right, you know how that Twilight movie's coming out and we got tickets to see a screening before it opens? That's not what you win for being on the air with us right now. You actually get a pair of tickets to the NHRA Full Throttle Drag Racing Championships coming up on November the 15th at the Auto Club Raceway in Pomona. Pomona, Pomona, 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we start with our boy Todd? Todd is down there on line 7.
Hey, Todd.
Hey, Todd.
Hey, what'd it do, nephew?
What'd it do?
What'd it do?
Hey, I'm calling yesterday morning, in the morning, before you guys even started the segment. Everybody was talking about pretty girls and, you know, how easy it is to hate a pretty girl. But yeah. Then Lisa made a comment that when there's a pretty girl and they're super, super nice, it makes them even better, right? Y'all remember that?
Yeah, oh, of course.
Makes it hard
to
hate them.
You can't hate them.
You can't hate them, although your instinct is to hate them.
Absolutely.
Exactly. But the thing is, and shame on you guys, sitting with you right now, there's a very pretty girl, and she's very, very nice.
Right.
Everybody failed to mention that Lisa's one of those.
Oh, Todd.
Wow.
What a nice man you are. Thank you. You must be one of those nice guys.
Oh, please.
No, Todd hasn't given up on trying to have sex with Lisa like we have. We don't bother saying things like that anymore because there's no point. You still think you've got a chance, so that's why you've got to say stuff like that.
Well, I appreciate it, Todd. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome.
Thanks for the call.
Don't hate me just because I'm beautiful.
Exactly.
All right, let's go to Rich.
Hey, Rich.
Hey.
What it do?
What it do, nephew, Lisa May?
What it do?
About Kobe Bryant flying flu 2 games in a row, OT, and taking over 30 points.
I got a question about that. If Kobe's as sick as he appears to be, why are they letting him play and potentially infect his players and the other team's players?
Well, that is a good question.
I suspect it's because there's no Pau Gasol. And if there was, he probably would be taking a rest.
And but I mean, Pau Gasol just got cleared. He's coming back.
Yeah, but if I'm the other team, whoever's playing,
yes,
I don't want somebody out there infecting my place.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. I don't know.
This is it's a workplace issue. That's all I'm saying. I mean, if Kevin had the swine flu, if we felt that he was super sick and contagious, none of us would want him in, right? Because he might infect everybody else. It seems like it'd be the same thing where Kobe works.
But let's get back to the real point, which is 30 points with swine flu.
I think, correct me if I'm wrong, I think he had 41 last night.
Yes.
Wow.
He's the second most 40-point player of all time.
Second most 40-point player of all time.
I don't know what that means.
I know what he means
do?
By it.
Okay. Yeah. It is impressive, I got to say. I would not be moving an inch if I had the swine flu.
I didn't see the game, but I understand that Houston was really out for Ron Artest. They were throwing elbows, doing everything they could to try to, like, upset him, get him to show that legendary temper. But he was very calm last night. He's like, look, I don't fight anymore. It's not worth it. He literally said he sees David Stern on his shoulder. He sees an angel on his shoulder of the commissioner of the NBA. He says, you know what? Not worth it. Not doing that. So
right.
That's good news.
Let's go to Ricardo. Hi, Ricardo.
What it do, nephew?
What it do?
What it do?
What it do, baby boo?
Hi.
So, my question this morning is, I've been dating this chick, and she says she's into a threesome, but it seems like she has a couple of ground rules that I can't seem to pass through, so I want to see what you guys got.
What are the ground rules?
Well, one of them was she can't be better looking than she is.
All right.
Second of all, she has to be liquored up.
All right.
Third would be disease-free. And she has to be vibing with her. So, I just seems like a lot of things... a lot of obstacles to overcome. It almost seems like not true, you know?
Okay, let me put it this way. Do you want to have a threesome?
Hell yeah.
Then do it and shut up.
Yeah, I mean, in that particular case...
What obstacles?
Yeah, those are very reasonable things for her to request.
Yeah, well, I understand that. But check this out. We went to Weezer a couple of Saturdays ago, and she actually saw this chick she was interested in, but this girl was just... not good looking at all.
Right.
Way too drunk and wasn't, she had her beer goggles on.
Right.
And it was terrible. There was no way I could have went for that. And she had a boyfriend. She said that was the perfect chance there. And I'm thinking she is just pulling my chain.
Oh, so you think your girlfriend's just giving you a hard time and it'll never happen anyway, no matter what?
Right.
Well,
I think that she just said it to lead me to believe that she was down. Right. But... Now, she passed out as soon as we got back to the hotel room. There was no way that she was serious about that. So, she said, the next morning, she said she was serious, so you lost your chance. I said, no way. I wasn't at all attracted to this woman, and
okay.
She knocked off
all
the
right.
booze.
Okay, thanks for the call.
I know. That's how I
wow.
feel.
How can you let someone talk that long and then just go, I still don't know what's happening?
I know what's happening, but I don't care. That's where I'm at right now.
Look, do what she says. fight.
Or don't.
Have a threesome. Or don't.
Or yeah. don't. Or don't. These obstacles. Oh, you know what? I want a Big Mac, but I got to get in my car and I got to drive to McDonald's and then I got to go up to the drive-thru and ask for one and then pay for it. That's so many obstacles. Why does McDonald's make it so hard for me to get a Big Mac?
Yeah.
That's what it's like.
One of the things is she has to be liquored up. Okay, so buy her a drink.
Well, duh.
Or can that be?
All right. Anything else essential here, or should we move on and talk about today? Oh, we got to talk to Juan. That's the one we need to talk to. I think I smell a lawsuit.
Ooh. Okay.
Hey, Juan.
Hey, what are you doing, nephew?
What'd it do?
Yeah, so I'm calling because a couple of my cousins and friends are trying to take your guy's name.
What do you mean, trying to take our name?
So I use Melfon for the rock band.
No. Oh. They're starting a rock band and they're using our name, Melfon?
Yeah, but I'm really against it, but they want to play. Yeah.
Are they good?
No. That's
all right, so we have that in common.
Exactly.
Then there's a reasonable expectation that people will confuse their band with ours if they suck hard enough. So, look, you don't want the power of the Kevin and Bean attorneys coming down on your friends. Believe me, they don't want that.
Do we have attorneys?
Shut up.
All right.
I figured. Well, yeah, they're trying to do it for a talent show, but I'm against it.
Listen, it's cool, but just tell them good luck. I mean, it's like if somebody came out and wanted to be the Beatles right now. How do you keep up with the original?
Right.
So
people are going to be very disappointed when they show up and it's not the real Melfon. Exactly. But you know what? That's on them.
Right.
And it's a terrible band name, too. So really, they show poor judgment in more ways than one. All right. Thank you for the call.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
Okay.
We are going to talk to Robert Hilburn.
Who,
of course, is a writer for the L.A. Times and has interviewed every band that has ever existed.
He's gotten to be really good friends with some of them, too.
And I wonder how hard that makes it to write a review when their new record comes out. I wonder if you piss off your friends when they come out with a bad record.
Yeah.
When that's the case. You know what I mean?
That'd be tricky.
I'm not sure he's ever written a bad review about one of his favorite bands.
Ooh.
He's written a lot of bad reviews. Yeah. But he's a fascinating dude with lots of stories. I mean, including, you know, going on the road with Michael Jackson lots of times, spending many, many days with Michael Jackson, being hired to write a book with Michael Jackson. I mean, he spent a lot of time with this dude. And he's got some great stories, so I'm looking forward to that.
We got Kellen Lutz on the program today from New Moon. Speaking of that, we have Death Cab for Cutie in the studio today. They're going to be performing live the song that's on the soundtrack.
Very cool.
Meet Me in the Equinox. Good song.
It is a good song. We have U2 concert tickets.
Mm-hmm.
Give you a chance to win those. We have Luke Robitaille from the Kings, who is going into the NHL Hall of Fame.
Wow, that's awesome.
That's got to be pretty cool to play any sport and go into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Sure.
You got to imagine most people who start playing sports just end up fizzling out or whatever and never actually get anywhere. But that's impressive.
Yeah.
And we have a version of Fireflies that we think you'll like.
Oh.
A little
one
better.
One you think we'll like?
You still have it? No.
Yeah, I mean, it's available. I thought that something else was coming through.
Oh, well, maybe. I don't know.
We'll work on that behind the scenes.
We're talking to the guy, I think, what Mike's producer.
Oh, the chair.
Talking to the guy who owns Your Next Lazy Boy. Yeah.
Yeah, the Lazy Boy. Remember the guy that put engine in Lazy Boy and headlights and
he drove it drunk?
Drove it drunk and ran into a car that put it on eBay.
Yep.
Selling it.
You can't call it a Lazy Boy, though, right?
I want that so badly. But the bidding's up to like $40,000.
That's ridiculous.
It's crazy.
You could hire a dude to build one for you for so much cheaper than
that. True. Yeah, that's true.
The guy who built our soapbox derby car could build it for $200.
Yeah, that's true.
Now we're talking.
Now we're getting somewhere, yeah. And tickets to Twilight New Moon as well.
All right.
The screening where you can see it before everybody else. We'll take a quick break and come back with Ralph. Showbiz Beat next.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It's Thursday. Muse on the way. Also, Bush, Sharkade, Fire, Incubus. So much more on today's Kevin and Bean Show. And a live musical performance from Death Cab for Cutie coming up later on today. Hey, Ralph Garman, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on with Harvey Levin from TMZ? Thought he was our pal. I thought he was our friend.
Why? What?
What do you mean?
Not. Friends like him, who needs enemies?
What's Harvey done? He's always been straight up with us.
Oh, has he?
Yeah.
Well, turns out yesterday, his little website, TMZ.com, ran the following story about former Miss California USA pageant holder, crown holder, Carrie Prejean. Remember how she got booted from that show? After she was sort of a bitch and she wouldn't do all the stuff they told her to do and she started...
She didn't show up for appearances.
She didn't show up and... then she, then they had those semi-nude photos of her, and she said, "Oh, the photographer took those photos when the wind blew open my vest."
Yeah, yes. That's true.
And she was famously said that gay people shouldn't get married. Remember, that's what started the whole brouhaha. And then she was being persecuted for her religious beliefs,
right?
Mm-hmm. Right,
because she's all pure as the driven snow,
right?
Right.
So she sues Miss California pageant people for more than $1 million, and they're in court. And the pageant people say, well, okay, that's all fine and good, but maybe we'll just release this. And then they drop a video on the table that is her basically playing her own banjo.
Really?
Yeah.
All right.
Big graphic sex tape of Little Miss Holier Than Thou.
All right.
This should not happen in America.
And Carrie Prejean suddenly decides to back away from her lawsuit.
Wow, she is a prize.
But the point of the whole story is... Harvey and TMZ.com say, yeah, we know it's real because we had the video months ago, and we've decided not to post it because it's so racy. It's so graphic we couldn't possibly use it.
Well,
so
they could tell us about it at the least.
They could have sent us a copy. Tell us about it.
Certainly should have a copy.
That's what I'm saying. I thought Harvey was a brother. I thought he was one of us. I thought he was a pal.
Wonder how many friends he has. You know, when a story like this comes out, they all go, "Hey, Harvey,
seriously,
give me a DVD copy."
I'm just shocked if somebody was pitching that, somebody had that and offered it to TMZ, that it didn't somehow end up on the internet somewhere else. If TMZ said no,
still hope, right?
Yeah,
sure, we're not
giving
up. By the way, her pastor, who very vociferously defended her during all this, saying what kind of quality person she was, and now has a statement saying, well, everyone is a work in progress, and we all have done something we're not proud of. So let's not judge, lest ye judge be judged. Judge Judy, judge.
I don't think Judy's in that quote.
I don't have any problem with her making naked solo sex videos. I think it's awesome, but she shouldn't be such a bitch in the rest of her life.
That's what I'm saying.
Exactly.
Hey, you know what time it is?
What time is it?
Hassle the Hop.
Yes, it is.
I'm pretty sure I asked for that.
I know. I just
changed
it.
Few minutes ago.
I know. I just changed it to something else.
Why?
Now
why would you do that?
Do the line again.
No, seriously. But why would you change it if I asked to have that ready for this story?
Comedy.
it was funny.
Try it again.
I asked for it. It wasn't there.
Run the line by one more.
Hey, you know what it's time for?
What?
It's time to hassle the Hoff.
It's time to hassle the Hoff.
Hoff. Hoff. Hoff.
Believe it or not. Looks like David Hasselhoff has been drinking again.
Oh, what? I don't believe it.
Yeah, this time he made a drunken spectacle out of himself, according to TMZ. During a trip to Canada this past weekend, he was up in British Columbia at a place called the Cascade Casino. And apparently a loaded Hoff got into an altercation with an old person.
Yeah, hi, this is David Hasselhoff. And I don't drink or take drugs.
Oh.
He's getting in a fight with Oldie Oldster?
Talk about a video I'd like to see. I want a double feature. I want Carrie Prejean, you know, working the washboard.
Sure.
And then I want the follow-up feature to be David Hasselhoff, drunk David Hasselhoff fighting with an old dude.
This is a mess.
Do you know what the fight was about? Or?
It does not say. Security personnel was called to the scene. Hoff was eventually escorted away. 7 hours later, onlookers saw Hoff drinking yet again.
Oh, good.
So,
good.
You know, after 7 hours, that buzz wears off.
That's sure.
You got a fresh
one. Hoff loves to rock.
Oh, yeah. Loves to rock old people. And it is the end of Hollywood. I still am documenting the fall and decline of motion pictures as we've known them.
Now what's going to be remade?
It's not a remake this time, Kevin. Sony Pictures has announced that they are producing Risk the Movie.
Another game?
Yes. You know the board game Risk? Where you try to take over the world. Well, you got troops and whatnot, and you move them across the board.
Yeah.
That's going to be a motion picture.
That at least...
You lie!
...could be an awesome war epic. I mean, if they just use the name Risk. I mean, like... Compared to all of the board games that you've been talking about making movies out of, that sounds pretty cool.
Really?
No.
Really? Does it?
It's about world military conquest. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Depends on who does it.
But it's no real story. There's no story there, Mike. There's no story. There's no actual... Remember, world conquest never happened. We can't really document it. We can't tell the story of that. It's about colored pieces of plastic on a map. That's what it's about.
Well, hopefully they'll put a little more into it.
No. Risk the Movie.
Hey, it's better news than... You know what? If only we had some wars we could make movies about. If only we had some actual battles we could make movies about.
No, those don't...
No, boring. Those real wars... Boring! Break out the board game, Risk!
Isn't this a step up from yesterday, though, talking about the Marmaduke movie? I mean, at least it's not Marmaduke.
I don't know, man. Just hurts. That's all I'm saying. It just hurts.
I hear you.
Sienna Miller. Oh. She's so hot. Rumor had it that she was back with her old boyfriend, Jude Law. Because they're both in New York appearing on Broadway.
Ah.
Jude Law famously in Hamlet.
Sure.
By the way, which is making enormous money.
Is it?
Yeah. The investors have already been paid back for their investment for the show.
Wow.
They just opened. They're already in profit. They're already making money.
That guy should write more stuff.
Didn't realize it was that successful.
Shakespeare, dude?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's good. Anyway, Sienna Miller and Jude Law rumored to be back together again. Not so fast, says New York Post 6. She was seen shopping this past weekend in New York City with her other boyfriend, DJ Slinky Wizard.
What?
Oh, DJ Slinky Wizard's back.
Yeah, DJ Slinky Wizard is back. His name is George Barker. His DJ name is DJ Slinky Wizard.
I think I need that name.
Well, you have to fight George Barker for it. Yeah. Apparently they were seen shopping around New York City this weekend and looked very much in love. So Jude Law may be out of luck. Slinky Wizard in the wizard sleeve. out there on Fifth Avenue. Yes.
They're perfect together.
They are.
Is there any information on his wife and kids? Do we know anything about them?
Jude Law?
No. DJ Slinky Wizard. I just assume if Sienna Miller's attracted to him, he must have a family at home.
I see what you're saying. I believe he's actually single.
Oh, well, wow. This will never last.
He's something single new? Slinky Wizard. Yeah. He's solo Slinky Wizard.
Amazing. Slinky Wizard couldn't get a wife.
There's no Mrs. Wizard anywhere. Today's celebrity birthdays, Robert Patrick from The X-Files and from Terminator. He is 51 years old today. Bryan Adams, Canadian singer-songwriter, is 50. Tilda Swinton, one of Kevin's favorite actresses. He thinks she is just beautiful.
For a dude.
She is 49 years old today. Tatum O'Neill is 46. Johnny Greenwood of Radiohead celebrates his 38th birthday. Singer-guitarist Ryan Adams is 35. Isn't it funny that Bryan Adams and Ryan Adams share the same birthday?
Very weird.
This is odd.
MTV host Alexa Chung.
Hey!
She is 26 years old today. She's so hot.
So hot.
And Kevin Jonas of the Jonas Brothers. The Joe Bros, as they're saying over on Seacrest's show right now, is 22 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
How interesting, looking at the phones here on the Kevin and Bean Show, that every contestant is a chick. How about that? It's almost like we're giving away tickets for Twilight, New Moon, before it opens in theaters on November the 20th.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it turns out we are.
And 1-800-520-1067, we're going to play a game, and it's going to be hosted by Count Dracula.
Blah!
Good morning, Count.
Hi,
Count.
What's up?
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Now, are you taking off? What are you doing right there? What's going on?
I am flying around my castle.
I see. I'm delighted that you're helping us with this game because, Twilight is just the very latest in a long line of very popular, very successful, in fact, some are even beloved, vampire movies. What do you think about all the different incarnations of the vampire that have appeared on the silver screen?
Well, it all starts with me.
Yeah, that's true.
I am the OG vampire. The very first Batman, if you will.
Sure. Yeah, I guess that's true.
It all comes from me, little Rob Pattinson with his tiny squinty eyes. I was the original vampire blood sucking sex symbol.
Good for you. All right, so we
good
have
for
contestants.
You too.
Contestants on the phone. We're going to be playing a clip from a vampire movie, and all they have to do is what? Come up with the name of the film, right?
Name the vampire movie we play the clip from.
All right, who do we have first?
First up is Karen. She's a student at the Royal High.
Hey, Karen.
Hi.
Do you know your vampire movies?
Yeah, I guess.
That's a no, huh?
I didn't think
I
said on the Twilight stuff.
Listen, it's for the Twilight movie, but we're going this time with the angle of vampire movies, other vampire movies.
Yeah.
But please get pissy, because it makes us want to give you things.
All right, here's the first clip from the movie. You tell us which movie this is from.
Stop fighting me, Michael. I don't want to kill you. Join us. Never. It's too late. Blood is in your veins.
All right.
Yeah. Very dramatic.
I have no idea.
I was going to guess you didn't have any idea because of your age, because it's kind of an old movie.
Yeah.
Count?
The Lost Boys.
The Lost Boys.
Yeah. Blah. Sorry, Karen. Sorry
Corey and Corey.
Yes, that's
and
true.
And Kiefer.
All right, who's next?
Next up is Amy. Amy. Blah.
Hey, Amy.
Hello.
Are you ready for your vampire movie?
Yeah, go for it.
All right, identify this movie.
Victory, it seemed, was in our grasp. The very birthright of the vampires. Nearly 6 centuries had passed since that night. Yet the ancient blood feud proved unwilling to follow Lucian to the grave. Though Lycans were fewer in number, the war itself had become more perilous.
Ooh, a couple of good hints in there for you. What do you think?
Oh my god. Dang it, it's that one movie with the Lycans.
Yes.
Yes.
It is.
I heard that too.
Okay.
What's it called?
Yes! Nicely done.
Well done, Amy.
Yes. You hold on. Put you in the drawing.
Next up is Erica. She's an office assistant.
Yeah, Erica.
Nice.
All right. Are you ready for your movie?
I guess.
Well, everyone is so excited by this game.
Here you go.
Don't be frightened. I want this opportunity.
How the hell did you do that?
The same as you do. Only I move too fast for you to see. I'm flesh and blood, but not human. I haven't been human for 200 years. Shall we begin like David Copperfield? I am born. I grew up. Or shall we begin when I was born to darkness, as I call it?
Right. Mm. Erica, what do you think?
I have no idea. Oh, man.
Oh, that sounds like a vampire was being interviewed.
Sure
does. Yeah.
Sorry, thank you for the call.
I would not even suck her blood. Next up is Ron. Ron must be gay.
Hey, Ron, are you gay?
No, maybe just a little.
A little, all right.
Okay, listen up. Here's your vampire movie.
Drinking my blood allows you to live in the light, and soon the sun will no longer sting your eyes. This is but a taste of what we shall share, my love, my king. Behold our kingdom.
Kingdom of corpses? This is why you have risen?
They believed in nothing. Now they are nothing.
I got nothing, Blade.
Good guess, but no, Queen of the Damned.
Damn it.
Yeah, sorry. Thank
nice
you.
Nice try, though. Of the Thanks damn for it. Playing. Drac, and insist on calling you Drac. A lot of vampire movies through history.
Oh, yes. I know you're in a rush. You must call me Drac. Lots of movies. Let's see if Amanda can figure out the next one.
Amanda, hi.
Hi, guys. Hi, Lisa May.
Hi, Amanda.
You ready for your vampire movie?
Yes, I've known all of the other ones except for one.
All right.
Sweet.
Good.
Very impressive.
You just cursed yourself, but here we go.
I know, huh?
You touch my brother with that steak, biker, and vampires aren't going to have to suck your blood. They'll be able to lick it up off the floor.
He's not your brother anymore.
That's a matter of opinion, and I don't give a f*** about yours.
Don't be a fool. He'll kill us all.
Shut up.
Shut up.
From Dusk Till Dawn.
Yes! Look at Amanda.
She's the real deal, this Amanda.
Check you
no
out.
No kidding. Impressive.
Thank you. Hold on for the drawing.
Next up is Julie. Julie.
Hey, Julie.
Hey.
Julie. Look into my eyes.
Can you hear me?
We can hear you, yes.
Oh. I think Drac is coming on to you, though.
Oh, Julie, look into my eyes. The children of the night.
Drac, we're on the radio.
Oh, sorry.
She can't look into your eyes. Okay, here's your vampire movie. Good luck.
You want to catch the hunter? You start with the prey. We'll target all the night places where vampires congregate. Blood banks, safe houses. They get it better. So, what's first?
The House of Pain.
All right. Name that vampire movie.
Oh, my God. I have no idea.
Oh, Blade 2 with Wesley Snipes.
Yeah. I think I'm proud of you for not knowing that, but thank you for calling.
I have no idea is clearly the number one guess. I think we have time for just one more, Dracula.
One more. Let's talk to Agnes. Agnes is a student at a high school. Scary.
Hey, Agnes.
Hi.
Are you ready for your vampire movie?
Sure.
All right. Here you go.
I am. Of nothing. Lifeless. Soulless. Hated and feared. I am death to all of us.
Hear me.
I am the monster the breathing men would kill.
Which movie was that?
Oh, I could barely hear it.
I couldn't either, and I'm right here playing it. Nice job, Omar.
Dracula, you know Omar?
Yes, he's my assistant in the lab.
Oh. Weird. We got to get a guess.
I have no idea.
That was Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Yes, Bram Stoker's. The porn version.
That's a thanks for playing. But we do have Amy and we do have Amanda. I believe those two are in the drawing for Twilight ahead of its opening on November 20th. Is that right?
Yes.
And I did a drawing. The winner is Amanda.
Yay. Amanda!
Hey, Amanda.
Thanks, guys. Hi.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Very welcome.
Twilight New Moon before anyone else. Thank you, Dracula.
Try to calm down, Amanda.
I don't know how Harvey Levin from TMZ.com and TMZ Television has the time to keep up with all the stories that are going on in the world today. It just seems like there's so much entertainment stuff that has to be tracked down. How can he be spending 3 hours working on 1993 this past weekend?
Well, he was working on Michael Jackson's story, and the 1993 was the accuser that said, the little boy that said, I can tell what his penis looks like by the discoloration of it.
Right.
I can identify it. Now, is that when he spent $22 million or whatever it was?
Yeah, that was one of the payoffs was the kid who could identify his penis, and people were thinking, well, if you can identify his penis, clearly that means something bad was going on. But now Harvey has revealed after an interview with Michael Jackson's best friend that maybe there's a reason why the kid could identify the penis, and it didn't have anything to do with sex. It had to do with Michael Jackson and his love of peeing in front of people.
That's what he said. He likes to pee in front
of people. I didn't think the dude could get any weirder now that he's dead, but in fact, he has figured out a way to do it. But we've fired up the hotline to heaven, and apparently we have Michael Jackson on the other side, ready to talk to us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Mike.
Oh!
Wow. You sound strong. You sound good. How you feeling?
This is it. This is it.
What is it?
This is the final phone call I'm ever going to do with you guys.
It is?
Yes.
Oh, that's so sad.
This is it. Because you're spreading these horrible lies about me and what I like to do when I have company.
Well,
and I just find it repulsive. It's just evil.
In
what
our
you're saying.
In our defense, Harvey Levin from TMZ talked to Dr. Arnold Klein.
Who is that? Who is that?
Harvey Levin, Dr. Arnold Klein.
Okay.
Who was your doctor for many, many years.
Yes, he was.
And he's the one that told Harvey the reason the kid could identify your penis is because you like to pee in front of people.
That's just ridiculous. Who pees in front of people? That's
well,
crazy.
No one that we've ever heard of. What? I hate to ask, but what's going on?
I'm watering my plants.
Oh, okay. with water?
Yes, with water.
Okay, I don't know. Just ask.
But, Michael, I would imagine that you would be hanging on to this story for all it's worth because this makes you look great. I mean, it's weird and creepy to be peeing in front of people, but it's better than any other way that he could have seen your penis.
Well, I stand by my innocence that he never saw it and that the whole thing was a mistake.
Oh, well, that you should get to Dr. Klein and tell him that. Because
okay, so now what are you doing?
I just turned on my fountain.
Okay.
Okay, why do you need to do that while you're talking to us on the hotline to heaven?
Sometimes you just got to turn on a fountain.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
One of the other things Dr. Klein says is that you would pee in his home in a cup with people there, like a party, you know, women,
what?
Children. You'd grab a cup and just pee in it.
That's insane.
That's
Who
what he said.
That?
You.
Is.
I have no idea why anyone would pee.
What are you doing now?
I'm filling my fish tank.
With
water. What's wrong with you?
I'm just asking.
It seems like you have an awful lot of chores for a guy who's dead and in heaven.
Well, I like to keep busy.
I see. Okay. So you're contending that Dr. Klein is what? Making this story up then?
Yes.
You never peed in front of people.
Yes, it's just lies and more lies and rumors that people are spreading about me. It's ridiculous.
Okay, now you're just playing with us. What now?
I'm making a pot of coffee.
With?
With water.
I'm
with
just water. Asking. You never know.
What's wrong with you?
Pee-pee.
All right, that's Michael's story, and he's sticking to it, apparently.
Pee-pee.
I'm sorry, did you say pee-pee?
No, I said hee-hee.
I thought you said pee-pee.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show, and there's some great news for you, Kevin. You know the DWI chair, the chair formerly known as the Lazy Boy chair that you've coveted so much. There's an update on the case. We're going to talk to the chief from Proctor, Minnesota in 1 second. Here's a recap for folks who missed the story.
A man from Minnesota will be on probation for the next 2 years after he pleaded guilty to DUI. But he wasn't arrested behind the wheel of a car. 62-year-old Dennis Anderson was driving his motorized Lazy Boy chair. He told police he left a bar in the town of Proctor on his chair after drinking 8 or 9 beers last year. Anderson's blood alcohol limit was 0.29, more than 3 times the legal limit when he crashed into a parked car in his Lazy Boy. Police say the chair was powered by a converted lawnmower, had a stereo, and, of course, cup holders, too.
Come on.
And the good news for you, Kevin, is the chair is still available. Let's find out what's going on with the famous DWI chair. And we welcome the chief of Proctor, Minnesota, on the phone with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Chief Wobig joins us. Hi, Chief. How are you?
Just fine. Good morning.
Thank you so much for joining us, first of all. And I just think, you know, the guy is smart enough to not drive an automobile while he's drunk. You give that guy a medal. I mean, that sounds like the guy making a responsible decision, if you want my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. The only thing is that he's had prior DWIs. That's why he didn't have a driver's license.
Oh.
It's not his first rodeo.
Now this chair, it was a Lazy Boy chair that he made into. Was it street legal? It wasn't, right?
No, it's not street legal. Actually, the only time that I saw it on the roadways would be when we had our community festival, when we closed down the roads and he was driving it around. However, apparently, during the evenings or during the days, he'd sneak out on it and stop at bars or whatever. I don't know.
How could you resist?
Yeah, right. So he ran into a car. You guys arrested him. You took the chair. Now it's up for auction.
Yeah, actually, we've had the chair since August 31st of 2008 in our garage.
Oh, really?
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. Yeah, this just isn't an overnight thing.
I mean, would drive that every day. I really would.
Yeah. For folks who haven't been to eBay or haven't seen the story on the news, explain how tricked out this chair is, because I don't know much about the man who was driving it, but he clearly had some skills when it comes to working in the workshop.
Well, definitely, but the individual that was arrested, actually, Mr. Anderson, he's not the inventor of this. He's not the builder of the chair.
Oh.
He actually purchased the chair from another individual, but the chair is decked out. I mean, you look at it, it has the NHRA stickers on there. It has the nitrous oxide tank in the back.
It has a nitrous oxide tank.
Oh, yeah, but it's all for looks.
Right.
I'm telling you right now, this is it's a lawnmower frame, a Wrighton lawnmower frame. It has a Briggs & Stratton engine. I've been advised it has a gear shifter, the transmission. That has 6 forward gears and 1 reverse. I mean, this is just for a nostalgic item, and it's an item that really has hit national and international news. I mean, this chair is known worldwide.
Yeah, you don't really see people driving Lazy Boys on the street very often.
I guess
I got to be honest.
What I heard from a friend down in Florida, and that only in Minnesota. I guess.
Yeah. What happened to the seat, Chief? I noticed in the picture that was on eBay, at least the one I saw last week, the seat was missing.
Yeah, quite honestly, when we picked up the vehicle, when we received the order to pick up the vehicle from the court, we picked up the vehicle. The seat was missing at the time when we picked it up. We asked the owner where the seat was, the past owner. The past owner said that he threw it away. He didn't have it. But as you can see on eBay, it's mysteriously showing up again.
Ah,
okay. All right. So let's talk about that eBay auction. So we heard that that you guys were going to auction it off and then use the money for what? For the police department, right?
Well, actually, the use of the money is governed by state law, by the state legislature. A portion of it goes to the state, the prosecuting attorney, and then back to the taxpayers. We are governed to use it specifically for it'd be for law enforcement items, for training, for equipment. Which then would save the taxpayers because the money's not being used.
Great. So what happened with the last auction? I mean, you had some pretty good-sized bids on it, and then the thing was pulled, and now we understand it's been relisted with different information. Was there some problem with calling it a Lazy Boy?
Well, that really caught us off guard. What happened is it must have been Tuesday. I received a fax from the Lazy Boy Corporation. I talked with Mr. Tucker, their legal counsel. He advised that the Lazy Boy, the LA-Z-Boy, is a trademark name.
Right.
And discussing it with him, he said he really did not want the name to be used in our listing. Well, under the description, I wrote it as a Lazy Boy style chair.
Right.
Oh, I gotcha.
So we were talking and everything else. He just said, "Hey, Walt, if you can make some changes, please do that." And I said, "No problem. I'll gladly do it." And he said, You can leave the, leave your listing up there. Good luck. The only other thing that we request is that, by the way, when someone purchases it, just tell them do not refer to it as a Lazy Boy.
Oh, please.
If I buy that. Like, hey, no problem. You know, I'm fine with that. You know?
If I buy that chair, I'll call it whatever I want.
That's right. Look, Lazy Boy ought to be making their own version of this chair. It's become so popular. As you said, it's known around the world. Where the Lazy Boy ought to come out with an official version for other people to buy.
Well, I'm surprised that they're not trying to capitalize on this. I mean, the city of Proctor, we would gladly, you know, well, it was a very nice conversation with Lazy Boy. We had a very, you know, it was very pleasant. They gave us permission to leave it on the eBay website.
You
know,
I gotcha.
6-7 hours later, eBay pulls it.
Now, I was going to bid on it, but I saw that the bidding had reached over $43,000.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, can you believe that?
That somehow made me not want to purchase it.
We could not believe it. But, again, it was all the hype. I mean, it was a confirmed bid from eBay. You know, you can go back and check if this is a good bidder and everything else.
Right.
We did. It was a confirmed bid. And boy, I was just devastated that evening when eBay pulled it. I mean,
I bet.
We weren't contacted. I mean, I called Lazy Boy right up immediately, and I'm like, hey, you know, Mr. Tucker, what's going on? And
right,
he's
right.
Like, hey, Walt, Lazy Boy didn't want anything like this to happen. You know, we apologize. You know,
well,
like,
they're wrong. They're just wrong. That's the best PR they could get.
You know, the whole thing is, it's kind of funny because the next day, you know, I get a call from Lazy Boy. I get a call from this lady, and she's very pleasant, and she's like, hey, Chief, is there any way that we can settle this? You know, is there any way we can give you furniture or anything? And I'm like, no, thank you for the furniture.
<I'm> like, that was nice,
though. If you want to set this right, give me, you know, go on eBay and put a bid of $43,500, and let's go from there, you know?
Wow.
Exactly. Hey, Chief, in our remaining moments, and you're awesome to talk to us today, we're very much enjoying it. If you had to guess, with all the conversations that you've had about this this chair over the past few weeks, how much would it cost a guy who's handy in the garage to build his own? I mean, it would be far less than whatever somebody's willing to pay for this one because of its notoriety, right?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. I mean, this is a riding lawnmower frame with a Briggs & Stratton riding lawnmower.
Right.
It has the riding lawnmower tires and everything else. It just has a custom-built frame around it.
And it has headlights.
Oh, yeah, it has headlights, a tail light,
radio.
Cup holder, radio.
All right, we thought this dude that was drunk and they got caught on it made it, and he must have been brilliant, but you said he bought it from somebody else.
Definitely.
Do I get a hold of somebody else?
Well, actually, if you go on to the ProctorJournal.com, it's our local newspaper. He has actually talked to the original owner. All of that information is there, and the individual is here in Minnesota.
All right.
Fantastic. There you go. Our plan, just so you know, Chief, our plan is that Kevin is going to commission that guy to build him a Lazy Boy, and then we're going to send one of our guys to drive it back from Minnesota to Los Angeles.
Wow, that would set a record.
Fly there,
that's gonna be
drive it back.
That's going to be a long winter, I'll tell you that, out there on the road. Well, Chief Wobig Proctor, Minnesota, you are awesome. You have such a great sense of humor about this story that I'm sure has pretty much turned your police department upside down. I'm sure you never thought that you would spend your day doing interviews all over the world, but I think you're handling this the right way, and we wish you the best of luck out there, and I hope you make a lot of money on your eBay auction.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
You are listening to the Kevin Meach Show on a Thursday. Ralph Garman joins us now for the Showbiz Beat. What the heck's going on?
Well, things are going from bad to worse for poor Lindsay Lohan.
Uh-oh.
Now what?
Yesterday, I played for you some tapes from phone calls with her father that her father has released of her weeping and sobbing and saying, no one loves me, no one understands me.
Yeah.
Dad released those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just when you thought it couldn't get any worse, turns out that she was recently in Morocco, and she was held up at gunpoint, robbed at gunpoint.
Dude, this is after her house was already broken into recently and she had a bunch of stuff stolen too, right?
Apparently she tweeted the scary news that a guy was following her in Morocco, jumped out, brandished a gun at her, then pulled the trigger.
Oh my
gosh.
The weapon wasn't loaded. Just went click.
What a scary moment.
Wow, nothing but bad news.
And apparently she had a little bit of a breakdown post that, as you can imagine, because that's pretty scary.
Oh, yeah.
So, Lindsay, you're not having the best time these days?
Yeah.
Here's what I would say if I was a friend of Lindsay's.
Mm-hmm.
Do a movie or some sort of job.
Mm-hmm.
Less Morocco, less Paris, less Fashion Week, less fashion designing, less nightclubs, less cocktails, less limos, less parties, less tweeting. More job,
Yeah.
She do job good.
Tweeted yesterday that she was exhausted and had spent the day at a spa and felt much better.
Less spying, more jobbing.
Less spying
is what I would say.
I think I can see that. It's probably good. You don't want her to cut it all out, but just some work.
Do some work would be good.
All right.
Megan Fox,
yes,
talking about her work, says to contactmusic.com that she feels her true purpose in life isn't acting. Her real goal, she says, is to do charity work around the world. Really?
Has she started any of that?
That's cute. Take your clothes off.
Oh.
What?
You got to know what you're good at, Lisa.
Well, she could be good at that. We don't know. It just won't make you happy.
She doesn't do it.
She could do it nude.
Yeah. Now we're getting great. Somewhere.
You know, I love this Ashley Simpson-Wentz story about her being fired from Melrose Place.
Sure.
So good this week, by the way.
Was it?
Ella found out that her roommate, Lauren, is a prostitute slash medical student trying to make her medical tuition.
All right.
Hey! And was surprisingly cool with it. I was interested. Anyway, Ashley Simpson is being booted off the show. Of course, we all knew she was a horrible actor, but it turns out a source tells Fox News that that wasn't the only reason she was let go from Melrose Place. She, according to people who worked on the set, was constantly late and deeply disliked by her coworkers.
Really?
Apparently she was a real bitch on the set. Here's the thing. You can't afford to be a bitch if you're talentless.
Right.
If you're Meryl Streep, you can show up and boss people around and be a pain in the ass.
You shouldn't, but you can get away with
but
it.
But they will hire you again.
Yes.
If you're Ashley Simpson Wentz, you better be taking care of people in the trailer. You know what I'm saying?
No.
I'm saying, you know, bake them cookies and things.
Okay, yeah.
Just be super nice. And that way, maybe they'll let you keep your job. It turns out not so much. They're going to use her. You know, it's funny because the executives were looking for a way to afford Heather Locklear, who was coming back to the show later this season, and said, how can we save some money? Oh, I know a salary we could use. And that's one of the reasons they let her go. Speaking of television and excellent TV, did you guys catch the premiere of V on Tuesday night?
No, I
completely forgot about it. I don't know
it
who
too.
You people are anymore.
Completely.
You're all strangers to me. I don't think I have a place for you anymore.
Was it good?
I think I'm too different. I think it's time for me to move on.
That's true.
I think it's time for me.
Was it good?
It was great. And apparently I wasn't the only one watching. I was in this room.
Yeah.
But 14 million other people in America seem to get on board with me, not you.
All right.
I was reading my Entertainment Weekly, and they did a profile of, what is her name? She was on Lost, and now she's on V.
I know you're talking about. The
Elizabeth Mitchell?
Yes,
Elizabeth Mitchell.
And then I saw the date that it was airing, and I was like...
You're like, oh, missed that.
That was yesterday.
I've decided after watching V, Elizabeth Mitchell plays a FBI agent on there. I'm joining the FBI because the FBI is just loaded with hot chicks.
They are. That is true.
I had no idea. They've got Olivia from Fringe. Right. She's in the FBI.
Sure, sure.
It's just a ton of smoking hot FBI chicks. Over at Flash Forward, there's a hot lesbian FBI chick.
Are there two different FBIs? You join the regular one or the TV FBI?
I think they're all the same. I think the TV FBI is based on the real-life FBI. Okay. That's why they have to cast hot girls.
All right.
Because they're all from the FBI.
Huh.
The FBI!
I was waiting. How many more times can I say FBI?
I was wondering myself.
By the way, V has a couple more episodes, and then the freaking Winter Olympics show up.
Oh.
And that's on for 9 months, and then it'll be on again after that. So enjoy your V while you can.
It's February. They only have a couple episodes?
Four episodes on ABC before the Winter Olympics come and ruin everything for everyone.
They got hosed to start for me because I think the reason I missed it is because I was watching the World Series the night it premiered. That's how it slipped by me because, you know. The whole schedule's turned upside down.
Whatever, man. If you want to watch sports other than aliens with lizard faces, that's on you.
Yeah.
Wow. What a Fruit Loop. Today's celebrity birthdays, Alexa Chung from MTV.
Hey!
She's 26 delicious years old today.
She's a good one.
Ryan Adams is 35.
Yeah.
Bryan Adams is 50. You figure out who's who. I'm not helping you. Judy Reyes from Scrubs is 42 years old today. Tilda Swinton from Adaptation and The Lion and the Witch and the Wardrobe. She is 49. Robert Patrick from X-Files and Terminator is 51. And Kevin Jonas of the Jonas Brothers, K-Joe of the Joe Bros,
is 22 years old.
Which one is he?
Those Jonas Brothers assholes!
That's true.
Is he one of the Jewish kids, or is he the little Mexican?
I think he is the tall Welsh-looking one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Got that Welsh look about him. You know, the Welsh.
Nope.
How they are. They don't pay their bets, I know that much. I'm Ralph Garman, I walk the showbiz beat.
If you don't have that CD, you're bad. That's all.
Yep.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 8 minutes after 7 o'clock.
You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is a Thursday show. We know we're all about the Twilight here this week. We got that screening of the movie coming up before it hits theaters, Twilight New Moon, and we'll talk to Lisa's new boyfriend, actor Kellen Lutz, coming up in just a few minutes. He's not the singing dog, though. I think he plays somebody else in the next movie.
Where do you get
not
a singing dog?
No singing. Oh, whatever's going on. I can't keep track of that. It's a wolf. That's right. Also, about to enter the Hockey Hall of Fame this weekend, we'll talk to one of our friends, Luke Robitaille, coming up later on the program. Speaking of friends, a guy that we've had on the phone many times over the past few years here on The Kevin and Bean Show, we are happy to welcome for his first studio visit. He was the pop music critic for the Los Angeles Times for 35 years. Still works. Wrote a nice piece on Nirvana just this week in the paper, but he's out with a new book called Cornflakes with John Lennon about his remarkable career in music. Ladies and gentlemen, Robert Hilburn joins us on the Kevin Beach. Hey, Bob. Yeah. How are you, man?
Okay, I think the Grammys will be won by... that's what I used to always come on and talk about.
We usually do make them pick.
That's right.
Yeah, that's true.
You're one of the guys who votes on the Grammys, aren't you, Bob?
I'm sorry?
Aren't you one of the guys who votes on the Grammys?
No. I don't have that honor or that. You can't blame that on me.
Okay.
I'm in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame nominating committee.
Ah.
And so I vote in that. But also, I disagree with their choices so much. You know, I don't understand how. The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Oh,
you know,
really?
I mean, they have 25 years to look at a person's career to get it right, and they still mess it up. You know, when I was on the committee, David Bowie got passed over. You know, they didn't put him on the ballot. Joni Mitchell got passed over. Bob Marley got passed over.
Really?
They finally put him in, but they had to wait years. Now they have people like the Chantels on the nominating. And I don't get that.
Yeah.
LL Cool J. I mean, I don't think he's he'd be in a rap Hall of Fame. Maybe he wouldn't be in a rock Hall of Fame. He's not like Run DMC or Public Enemy or those bands. But.
Yeah. So much we need to talk to you about, Bob, because you are such a passionate fan of music and have been since you were a little kid. And I know the book is something that you had wanted to write for a long time. Why did you decide now was the time that you needed to put some of these stories down about the people you've covered over the years at the Times?
Well, I think, strangely enough, I think it took a long time to get confidence to say, look, I'm going to leave the newspaper. It was the greatest job in the world and write a book, because you haven't written a book before, you know, a book of that length. And, I asked three or four friends of mine who are recording artists, kind of at the end of an interview, what do you think I should do? You think I should leave the paper or go for something like this? And I thought they'd all say, go for it, you know, because that's what music, they say, don't leave the paper.
Really?
That's the best job in the world and so forth. But the thing is, I did a singer-songwriter series where I interviewed for hours Bob Dylan, Joni Mitchell, Merle Haggard, U2, and I did separate pieces on the creative process. And it was such a wonderful story. Each story was like 4,000 or 5,000 words, and I realized there isn't space in the paper or time to keep doing stories like that. You know, you can do once in a while, maybe every 4 or 5 years.
Right.
And I thought, gee, I would like to do a story, a more ambitious story. And that's what the book turned out to be.
The hardest thing for you must have been deciding what to leave out, because you've had so many experiences. And I mean, I was reading some of the chapters in Cornflakes with John Lennon, and I thought, there's a whole book in you with the experiences you had with just you two, or with just Michael Jackson, for instance.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, you know, a Springsteen book could be easily. But what I did, I went to the paper and I searched through the computer database the artists I wrote the most about.
Uh-huh.
And then I tried to say, well, why did I write about those artists over and over again? What was important about those artists? And that became the heart of the book. And anybody I didn't think lived up to that premise about the great artists who reached massive audiences with an inspirational message. That was my idea of what rock and roll was. The Beatles lifted you up. Dylan lifted you up. Springsteen lifted you up. U2 did. That's the heart of the book. Then I go into people like Michael Jackson, Phil Spector, and other people who were very interesting in it.
Michael Jackson wanted you to write a book?
Yeah.
And invited you into his bedroom to watch cartoons.
We sure did.
Is that code?
What?
We sure did. We did. I heard, listening to the peeing episode earlier.
Sure.
It struck me as not true. I mean, it didn't strike me as true, because
same here.
We'd be sitting in the bedroom watching cartoons. He loved to watch cartoons. He had this childlike thing, and he had to go to the bathroom sometimes. And he would go in the bathroom, and he'd lock the door, which I thought was odd, because usually if you're doing an interview with somebody, they go to the bathroom, they don't lock the door.
Yeah.
They don't think you're going to attack them.
He doesn't know what you're going to do.
There was that shy childish thing about Michael, and so the idea of him doing, you know, peeing in front of people just didn't.
It sounds like nothing but a blatant lie to cover up the fact that this kid could identify markings on his penis. Yeah. I mean, how else could he have done it?
But it's still a strange thing. That
if
it's a PR move, it's a strange.
I agree.
It's a strange way to say not guilty to something.
I agree. You
talked about some things with Michael Jackson that I've never seen anywhere else, and I had never even read them in your material before, including. I mean, look, we know that he was obsessed with being famous, and he was obsessed with being the biggest recording artist in the world. And ultimately, I think that's what squeezed all of the passion and all of the fun and all the spontaneity out of his records, is he turned into a machine to try to make something that was palatable to the masses. But you talked about how crazed he was over, you know, people who dressed like him, and that he would spend literally hours looking at photographs of fans of his that were dressed in tribute to Michael Jackson. What's that about?
Yeah, I mean, he would remember the big statues of himself he would have, and people marching, and it was a search for fame and acceptance that had no limits. You know, he was, because he was rejected in the after the time he was a Jackson 5 star. Before he bounced back, his face got acne on it. His nose, he thought, was too big. That's when he had some of the plastic surgery and stuff. And people would look at him, and they would just pass him by. They would say, "Where is that little Michael Jackson we used to know?" And he felt, you know, he needed love so bad that he wanted to make sure that never happened to him again. That he was always going to be accepted and famous and the king of pop. All these things that were courting and stuff.
But. Outsiders would say, well, Thriller certainly must have done that for him. You know what I mean? But I guess there's nothing that can do it.
No, that's right. After he made 25 million record sales with Thriller, he said, "Robert, the next album, we're going to do twice as many."
Wow.
And I said, "Michael, you know, that's kind of, you know, bizarre." He says, "Just believe. You got to believe." You know, he really had the idea of anything is possible.
Would you mind if I asked you to do some more Michael Jackson?
No. But Brian, that's too. Kevin, that's too personal.
How much time did you spend with him?
Well, I would spend weekends, maybe 6, 8, 10 weekends in the process of writing the book.
And what was the book?
The book that I was working with him on wasn't what eventually came out. It was Moonwalk, the kind of a biography. And he didn't want a biography like that. The only reason he signed the contract was Jekyll and Onassis asked him to. And see, whenever he can associate with somebody famous, he would love to do that. Ah. So, but she wanted a real full-scale biography. And he, being a very private person, Elvis didn't do interviews. Why should I do interviews? He wanted a picture book with captions. And so finally there was a showdown, and Jekyll and Onassis flew out here, had a meeting with him. He didn't want to meet her. He raced upstairs. And
really?
And I had to talk to her, about
tell
the
her I'm not here. Tell her I'm not here. Really? Yeah, I knew that. Yeah. I didn't think people did that.
But I don't mean to make fun of him too much, because there's a very sweet side of him. He used to go to hospitals on nights after shows and the terminal illness wards and stuff. And I mean, his manager would turn away in tears and stuff, but Michael would go in there and hug the kids and stuff, and
run away, Bob. That's why.
No. There's a very genuine impulse in him, but it was a very complex figure. You know, like Spectre's
could he have been saved though if there had been maybe it's not a Quincy Jones, but if there had been somebody in his life who would have been able to get him under control? Could he have been saved?
I don't think he needed
too much help.
No, there were good people in his life. John Branca, the attorney, who's now executor of he's an excellent guy, very upstanding, and Michael hasn't got the best judgment in who he turns to for advice and so forth. And he thinks that also, one of the intoxicating things about fame is that you can do anything, you know, that somehow the money, the fame will protect you. But he got bad business advice. He got all kind of, so I don't think he could have been, I think he was on there was something inside of him as a child, you know, that was dark and that left him scarred forever, I think.
There's a lot of stories. There's a lot of books. There's a lot of information about the young boy thing. Do you have any feeling on that? Did you see anything? I don't want to, spend too much time on it, but...
No, when we'd talk, sometimes he would say things privately about things. He says, I don't want to keep imitating, but he said, "Don't tell anybody this ever." So, but it was about some of the things about the father. You know, it was a tough
about his father.
Michael's Joe, father. Whip. You know, if he didn't do the singing right and so forth.
Right.
The father thought he was trying to help the child, but I think it scared the, you know, certainly scarred the child.
We got to take a quick break. Robert Hilburn is here. He, of course, is the author of Cornflakes with John Lennon, which is an outstanding book that's available everywhere. You can buy it online. You can buy it in stores all over town. You can actually get a copy signed in Pasadena at the Vroman store there next Wednesday at 7. When we come back, we want to talk about taking Bono to Bob's Big Boy. We want to talk about all the time you spent with Kurt, too. And I know you were an enormous fan of Kurt Cobain and what a loss that was. And more with our guest, Robert Hilburn, when we return right after this on The Kevin and Bean Show. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. Of course, it is Book Day Thursday on this program every week, and today we're talking about Cornflakes with John Lennon, which is a new book that's available everywhere from Robert Hilburn. He was and is a writer for the Los Angeles Times. You were nominated for a few Pulitzer Prizes. You ever win one, Bob?
No.
Loser.
No.
Loser.
And the thing is, anybody can be nominated as long as the paper thinks enough of you to nominate you. It's not like this great jury, but yeah, the paper thought enough of you three times to nominate me. But you just weren't good enough to win.
But
no one's ever won Bean for pop music. I mean, I think pop music is still considered a little bit out there. Architecture, classical music, things like that. I mean, how silly it is. Look at the effect of rock and roll on our society and the values of our society over the last 40, 50 years. And look at classical music. I mean, I don't want to be a reverse snob, but it's just ridiculous.
Yeah, no, you're right. It's not fair. Let's talk about a couple things in the short amount of time that we have, because there's so many great stories in the book. And, you know, the book had to be done at some point. You had to finish it and put it out. But, of course, you know, your world continues. Your interaction with these artists that you love so much continues. Bono gave you a shout-out from the stage at the Rose Bowl a couple of weekends ago. Was that a happy birthday greeting from your friend Bono? Is that what that was?
Yeah, well, I think he really wanted – he did the introduction for the book, and I think he wants to kind of support it and support me. And so it was a very generous, sweet thing.
It wasn't just a shout out. He said Robert Hilburn's here. He's written a new book. Got a lot of interviews. I was like, what's happening here?
Doing an infomercial.
What's going on?
I was fascinated because you go back to the beginning of U2 in America. I mean, on their very first visit to the United States, you got together with them. You were one of the very first people in this country to kind of key into what they were doing as being special. And it almost seems like you've been counsel for Bono for the last 25 years. You guys have had a relationship where it seems like he cares a lot about what you think, and it seems like in some ways you've kind of influenced some of the choices that they've made as a band. Would you say that's overstating it?
Yeah, probably, but it's nice to think that. But when you meet an artist early in their career, whether it's Springsteen or U2 or Jack White or Kurt Cobain, there's a bond that's built there, because once you come in, after they're already famous, when you come in, they don't know how credible is it.
Right.
Is it being honest? Is it just doing a story?
Right.
So when you meet a person when they're playing the country club in Reseda as their first show, and you express an interest in them, and you write a few things early in the career that makes them, that sounds right to them. Like Bono used to climb up the scaffolding of at shows. It was really dangerous stuff. At the sports arena, I think it was, he went up to the balcony and jumped down to the Mayan floor. And I said, look, you got to stop doing that because people, not only other people are going to do it and get hurt, but secondly, people are not going to look at your music. They're going to say, what kind of stunt can he pull next? And he called me on the phone after that review ran and said, the band's been saying that to me. I'm going to stop doing that. So once that connection's made, every time you do an interview with them, you talk about other things in their lives a bit, mm-hmm. you know? And so that's how the idea of counsel became, but it's probably overstated, but it's a very, I wear it proudly.
Yeah, just accept
it.
You were very concerned at one point. It sounded like that Bono was overreaching with the many things that he was trying to do beyond the band.
Has that
helped or hurt you too, that Bono has gone on to become a saint?
I think it has helped him. It's funny because he's a wonderful guy, and he's got a great sense of humor about it. One time I said, look, aren't people going to think you're a saint? Aren't they going to get tired of you? And he leaned over the table and said, look, I'm bored with Bono, and I am Bono. You know? I mean, he has a great sense of humor about that thing. But what you're talking about is we had breakfast the morning after the Joshua Tree, after they won the Grammy in New York for that. And he told me all these things he was going to do. He was going to do a play. He was going to do a book. He was going to write a novel. And I said, wait a second. How many great songs have you written so far? And he kind of paused. And I said, now, how many great songs has Hank Williams written, or Lennon McCartney written, or Cole Porter written? And the point was, you know, you can't mess your life up with all these other things. Songwriting is a very difficult practice.
Focus on that.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that kind of sobered him a little bit in that.
You've interviewed and become friends with almost everyone. Johnny Cash.
Great.
John Lennon.
Great.
Bono. Nirvana. Springsteen. Jack White.
Yeah,
tell us what Jack White's like. He's a
I think Jack White's amazing. I think there's no limit to the guy. I think that sometimes he might not make the best career decisions in some of these things. He's maybe having too many bands now.
Yeah.
But he's got the long range. He's got the Neil Young, Tom Waits, Bob Dylan. He wants to be around 30, 40, 50 years, and he does whatever's interesting to him. So right now, Meg White is off the table. He can't do the White Stripes because she's had some fear of flying or stage fright.
Right.
So he enjoys collaborations. He enjoys working with other people. He enjoys being the drummer drummer this time, so he's trying to compete with the front man, you know, the front woman of the group.
Right.
And he wants to collaborate with other artists, and he's mentioned some of the ones that, you know, just top level artists.
Is he a genius? Would you use that word?
Well, I think he's pretty close to. I mean, I think the only person I've ever seen on stage that's when you watch the show, it's almost like being inside their brain as a creative laboratory. That was Prince. He was amazing on stage, and Jack White's got that same electric, charismatic. Anything can happen. He has this great thing where he puts three microphones around the stage. So if he's playing guitar, now most bands have to pause to go back to the microphone, but he's got a microphone right there to keep singing in. And so I think he's just a remarkable individual, and I think the fact that he's not a Bruce Springsteen or a Bono shows you how difficult it is today for a great rock artist to get national attention.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I do worry sometimes as a music fan my whole life, Bob, where we are today. The music industry has changed a lot. We were talking a little bit off the air about what I think all of us in this room think a real negative influence to radio has been, which is shows like American Idol. But I do worry that it doesn't seem like there's a great crop of great artists as there have been at so many other times in history. Of course, there's still very good music being made, but there aren't very many Jack Whites out there, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I hate that being an older person saying the music might not be as good as it is. You know, I think the argument isn't so much that it's not as good as it is, because there's a lot of bands you can find on the internet that are, you know, that are really kind of good. But what I think is lost is the rock and roll has lost its ability to affect social change, you know, to impact society, which is what the Beatles did and what the Stones did and what the Who did and what Dylan did, certainly, and Springsteen and U2 going out and talking to world leaders. And so that makes the music, you don't feel it as powerful. You don't feel the currents of the time flowing through the music, you know. You don't feel the times are changing because of the music.
Is it harder because of the internet and the lesser role of record companies and everything's kind of, it's hard to get even noticed?
Yeah, I think so. Anymore. I think it's difficult. You know, it's like my grandson will come over and he'll tell me these 10 favorite bands he has. And his friend will say 10 bands he loves. And somebody else will say, but they're all different bands. Because, and they love to find bands that no one else knows.
Right.
There's not this sense of community, you know, that existed previously. Plus, I think the radio and the media, to a large extent, has become so fascinated with American Idol that it's they get the first attention.
Yeah.
You know, and those artists just don't deserve that attention. I mean, it might be a great television show, but it's been terrible for the health of pop music. And it used to be record companies would be embarrassed by some of the stuff they put out. You know, Tab Hunter had a record contract, but people were embarrassed by it. You know, they did it as a sideline. Now it's become the focus of record company attention.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, we're out of time, and obviously we've just scratched the surface.
No.
I know, because there are so many phenomenal stories, and if you love a lot of the best bands that we played on on this show over the years, if you love Nirvana, you love Pearl Jam, you love Rage Against the Machine, bands like that, I guarantee that you will love this book, because there's interviews with everybody in it and great stories, and I hope it's just the first of many, called Cornflakes with John Lennon. It's available everywhere, and you can meet Bob. Robert Hilburn is going to be signing the book in Pasadena at the Romans. That's going to be next Wednesday at 7 o'clock, and then the following weekend in Hollywood at Book Soup. Bob, best of luck with the book. It's always great to see you, man.
Thanks very much.
And now one of the stars of the film, how about that? We welcome to the first time on the Kevin and Bean Show, actor Kellan Lutz. Ladies and gentlemen, joining us. Hey, Kellan, how are you?
I'm doing fabulous. How are you guys?
Good, thank you.
Great to talk to you. I know you probably have been very excited for a long time about the second movie finally coming out. It must be so weird for you guys to film a movie and then just kind of have to sit on it waiting for the fans to get a chance to see it.
It's not really too weird, because we just finished actually the third movie, Eclipse, so it's kind of been Twilight for a while now, and now that New Moon's coming out, it feels like Eclipse is right around the corner. So we start all our press, start the big junket tomorrow, and we have a great event tomorrow at Hollywood and Highland, and it's going to be fun.
And you're going to be there?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I love last year. Last year, Paramore played, and we got to meet so many fans from Hot Topic, and it was a fun event. I had my family come in town who... they live in Valencia, so they came down. My little brother and sister had a great time, and, you know, hope they do it again this year.
I'm dying to know, when a movie catches fire like Twilight did, and of course, you know, people expected the movie franchise to be successful because the books were so well-loved. So many fans were already, you know, hey, I'm going to go see that movie. But even you guys had to be surprised with how big the first movie was, right?
We were. I mean, for myself... I had no idea it was even a book series, so getting involved with it, I loved my character, I loved the script, I thought it was beautiful, and just the whole relationship between Bella and Edward, and then throwing Jacob Black in there, it's that's what's great about Eclipse also, it's, you know, that's where the love triangle comes, and New Moon, it's all about the wolves, it's all about the wolf pack, and you know, it's a guy movie. It's more of an action movie. So where the girls loved all the romance in the first one, this right. one's more guy friendly.
All right. Now, every single, you know, series or movie or book about vampires has to figure out what lore they're going to go with for vampires. You know, sometimes the sun melts your skin, the cross, the holy water, all that kind of stuff. How exactly did the author of these books, if she's the one that came up with it, decide that the vampire's skin, when it is subjected to sunlight, will turn into diamonds?
Well, it doesn't turn into diamonds.
It turns into diamonds.
It just sparkles.
Your skin is diamonds.
Is that Lisa May?
Yes.
I love you.
Where did that come
Please
from?
Please fix these stupid boys.
His
They're
skin
so
turns
awful.
To diamonds. I've never seen that before.
It's just not true.
Nor have I. And I think it's a great twist on the vampire image in a way. And I was kind of down when I heard that we weren't going to have fangs. I was going through hair and makeup,
mm-hmm.
you know, which takes a while when you're tan and you live from L.A.
Sure.
Well, when you're as good-looking as you are, right, they got to ugly up. That's got to be hard on you, Kelly.
Well, we are supposed to be beautiful.
You
know, that's one of the traits of becoming a vampire. Everything gets, you know,
perfect.
Times 10 as far as beauty. But sure. you know what? I was kind of bummed when we didn't have fangs. But still, I love how human we are portrayed in a way as vampires trying to live in the regular human society. It's a nice twist on things.
Now, I saw the first movie. I didn't read any of the books. Do you get the people who read the books and then follow you around and go, how come this didn't happen? Remember in chapter 2 and compare it?
You know what? It's a blessing to have the books as homework and research to work with, and then having Stephanie come to set.
But you have to change.
Really take her brain.
Don't you have to What's change that? A certain amount of things to make a book into a movie?
Yeah, you can never put it all in, right?
No, definitely not. Yeah. I mean, the books are way longer, and it's tough to. And that's one of the talents that Melissa has, who wrote the screenplays, of transferring a beautiful book into a beautiful screenplay, and she did that and captured it amazingly in all the movies that we shot so far. And it's a tough thing. I mean, you have to have all the key elements in there, but yet, you know, make it roughly around 90 minutes so the audience doesn't fall asleep if it's too long or, you know, lose interest. So it's amazing. The first one was great. I saw New Moon already. Loved it. Chris White did an amazing job, and I think everyone's going to love it.
Did I mention that Robert Pattinson's character, his skin turns into diamonds when he's in the sun?
You have got to get over that.
You love that.
I don't remember if I mentioned that.
Last question for you, Kellen. It gets, you know, with every movie that comes out, you guys become more well-known and end up on more tabloids and on more entertainment TV shows. Has it been a pain in the ass, or has it been fairly manageable for you so far?
Not at all. I think it's an actor's dream to be allowed and able to go on talk shows and do interviews and share what their passion is. You know, as far as being an actor and myself falling into this amazing industry, you know, I find it a blessing and very lucky. And it's great to be able to share more about yourself as a person in these interviews. So you talk a lot about the movies, and, you know, you then have the ability to share who you are. So the fans get a little inside scoop on who you are, not just the character that I play, Emma Cohen, but they learn who Kellen Lutz is, you know, inside and out.
Now, Twilight's saga, New Moon, comes out
the 20th.
2 weeks from tomorrow, I want to say. November 20th. How does it end? I haven't read the book.
Oh,
I'm going to tell you how it ends. How does it end?
First of all, it doesn't end. It's only the second in the series.
Oh. Why haven't you read the books? They're great books.
I am not
He's
a big
not
reader.
A reader.
I've read.
Nor am I.
I've started a
Kindle that I read everything on.
I've started 25,000 books. I think I've finished two. I don't have the.
That's a good amount.
Yeah. Well.
Kellen, when you're doing a movie of a book where a guy looks at goats and they fall down dead, that's when Kevin's going to read your book, okay? All right, we're out of time. Twilight Saga New Moon opens everywhere on Friday, November 20th. And, of course, that big event at Hollywood and Highland. We're going to be talking about more next hour with our guest, Death Cab for Cutie, here in studio on The Kevin Beach Show. Kellen, thanks a lot for coming on. We enjoyed talking to you.
Thanks,
Kellen.
I appreciate it.
You are listening to The Kevin Beach Show on a Thursday. Soon to be in the Hockey Hall of Fame, Luke Robitaille joins us in about an hour or so here on The Kevin Beach Show. And live music from Death Cab for Cutie straight ahead. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz. Pete, what's going on?
I love the game of hockey. I love to play it, and I would play it now if I could. But I cannot because my knees don't work no more.
He doesn't talk like that at all, really.
But he does. He is a French-Canadian hockey player.
Let's take a look at the top 10 markets for video game systems. I thought this was interesting.
Top 10 markets, meaning cities?
You mean cities?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
No. Ralph's and Albertsons.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah, what do you think I'm talking about? Right. This is the city, the top 10 cities where adults spent over $300 on video game systems and games in the past year. Okay, so this is the biggest target markets for the video game industry. Yeah, 10th was Denver, Colorado. Surprising. I think they thought they'd be out, you know, skiing and stuff.
That's too cold.
Doing outdoor stuff.
I'm just going to forget this cold. I'm going to go
through half the year, I guess. Your ass is stuck indoors.
Yep.
Portland, Oregon was 9th. Philadelphia, Pennsylvania was 8th. Seattle and Tacoma. The Seattle, Tacoma, Washington area was 7th. Washington, D.C. was 6th. Salt Lake City, Utah was 5th.
What? Ah,
those Mormons are surprising. Playing video games. Those bastards. Well, I guess they can't do anything else. They can't drink. They can't smoke.
That's true.
Can't gamble.
What do they do?
File.
Yeah. Austin, Texas, 4th. I'm guessing big college town. Maybe that's why. Right?
Yeah.
You like Austin?
I do.
Yeah.
We can't say that, Ralph.
I'm just curious.
No, yeah, I do. But I love Austin. It. Love it.
Chicago, Illinois, 3rd. Las Vegas, Nevada was 2nd.
Huh.
Really?
With all the stuff to do in Vegas, people are sitting at home playing video games. There are video games in Las Vegas where you can win money if you win.
Yeah, that's weird.
You don't get the points with Mario and his brother in the cart. Get cash. Number one, biggest market for video game systems in these United States of ours. The San Francisco, Oakland, California area.
Is that right?
Yay!
How about that? NorCal. L.A., by the way, not even in the top 10.
Wow. We got to step it up. I'll do my part.
Start playing more video games, people. Movie news. You guys ready for the Three Men and a Baby sequel?
No. Is the Goot back on board?
Oh, yeah. The Goot's very excited.
Tom Selleck?
Steve Guttenberg, very excited. He says
when
it's
were these
in the works.
Crappy movies? This is
80s? 1987 was the first one, Three Men and a Baby, where Steve Guttenberg, Ted Danson, and Tom Selleck found a baby.
Right.
Then in 1990, they did Three Men and a Little Lady, because by then the baby had grown up into a little lady, and they did little lady things. Yeah. Now, Three Men and a Bride. Apparently, the little baby's all grown up, and she's going to get married, and the Goot, Ted Danson, and Tom Selleck are going to give her away.
No!
At the
no!
wedding.
No!
Who is demanding the Three Men and a Baby reunion?
No!
I want a good movie.
Steve Guttenberg?
I'm guessing no one.
But Danson's got a career.
Yeah, he
I can see Selleck and Guttenberg signing on, but Danson's busy.
Not busy enough.
He just must be such a nice guy. He's throwing these guys a bone saying, all right, I'll get back together.
Because I have work and you don't.
The first one, though, was a big smash hit. Three Men and a Baby.
Yeah, I remember.
Big money
was
maker.
It really?
Yeah, big moneymaker. You know who directed it?
Man, I seen that movie, too, and I fell asleep on it.
You'd be surprised when I tell you who directed the first one.
I have no idea.
Leonard Nimoy.
Really?
Mr. Spock.
Wow.
Mr. Spock directed
that. That is a shock.
A little piece of trivia for you. And apparently the new one, if it's directed by Nimoy, has got a bunch of fat women in it.
Yeah. Ultra fat.
Yeah. What was that? Yeah, I'll just do my own. It's cool. Janet Jackson is ready to give her first full-length interview since the death of her brother Michael.
The Leonard Nimoy book?
Apparently. She will be doing an hour-long special that will air on November the 18th for ABC.
What was that?
ABC's Robin Roberts will chat with Janet, and they will do the first sit-down, and the first time Janet has ever allowed TV cameras into her home, by the way.
Robin Roberts is the dude chick, right? She seems like
a
dude.
No, she's a lovely, attractive woman. Robin Roberts.
She's been fighting cancer a lot in the last year, if that's what you're making fun of.
No. She
was on Good Morning America. She's been on Good Morning America. African-American lady on Good Morning America.
Yeah, that's who we're talking about. Robin Roberts.
Always struck me as a dude.
Not a dude at all.
Always struck me.
Not even a little bit.
Always.
She did get testicular cancer, though. K-Jo of the Joe Bros.
Oh, dear God.
Is 22 years old today.
Hey, those Jonas Brothers assholes!
Yeah, it's true. What was that? MTV host Alexa Chung is 26 years old today. Ryan Adams and Bryan Adams both have a birthday today.
It's unbelievable.
It's ridiculous. One is 35, the other is 50. That Bryan Adams. Not aging well.
He's 50. Still alive?
He's still alive, yeah. Still cleaning his face with an ice cream scoop, too.
And Ryan, isn't Ryan married to the beautiful Mandy Moore?
He is.
Yeah.
He wins.
He does win.
The Adams competition. Tilda Swinton. Now she's a dude.
She's a dude.
49 years old today, and Robert Patrick from X-Files and the Terminator sequel. He is 51 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We just had Kellan Lutz on from Twilight. And speaking of Twilight, Kellan is going to be appearing at Hollywood and Highland tomorrow afternoon, starting at around 5:30, with a couple of the guys who are in the studio with us right now. Ladies and gentlemen, Ben and Nick from Death Cab for Yay! Studio here. They, of course,
Hello.
Are on the New Moon soundtrack. How are you, boys? Great to see you again.
You too.
Yep, good to see you too.
Wait, this, you too is here?
This Twilight is out of control, and these Twilight fans have got to be stopped. What do you get yourselves into? How'd you get dragged into the New Moon world?
It kind of was a big surprise, actually. I mean, they asked us to submit for a soundtrack, and we gave them a song, and kind of thought we'd just end up being a part of a really fantastic soundtrack. And then we got a call, so like, you're the first single, and you know, get ready to strap on the rocket ride. So it caught us all by surprise.
I think I'm outside the demographic for this thing, so I'm not really aware of what a big deal it is. But apparently it is. I didn't find out until after we were like, dove in.
They
like,
said, you guys are going to be in it, blah, 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 and then you realized it was a huge deal.
It's enormous. Well,
I don't say that in the sense of like, guys, it's kind of a big deal for us. But just like, but more in the sense like, wow, no, this is actually a really, I was aware of the first film and saw it.
But it's legit, point, but yeah.
No,
yeah.
It's like, yeah, it's a really big franchise, so it's exciting.
Forgive me for not having this information at my fingertips. Have you contributed songs to soundtracks before?
Yeah, I mean, this is the first time that we've had a song on a soundtrack that was not somewhere else. Like, it wasn't just a song from an album that ended up getting used on a soundtrack. So we didn't write the song specifically for the movie, but we did. It was a song that we had written and had submitted, and they liked it and became a part of the soundtrack record.
This Stephanie Myers, who's the author of these Twilight books, apparently she is a huge rock fan, and I guess, Muse is the one that has gotten the most press because she apparently listened to a lot of Muse when she was writing the books and stuff. But apparently she just is all over the radio listening for songs, and they inspire her. I mean, she may have heard Death Cab songs before and said, oh my God, I love this band. I need to figure out a way to include them.
I wonder, there's probably some kind of connection to that. I mean, she is a big fan. You can go to her website and she's always got some link or some kind of mention of some up and comer. I know at one point someone, long before I was even aware of the book, someone was like, hey, there's this author and she linked to you on her site.
That's
she
weird.
Really likes, and I was like, oh, that's interesting. Fantastic. And then, you know,
it's
now
her.
I know.
Oh, yeah, you're like, big deal.
her. That's Stephanie Meyer.
The Killers are on the soundtrack. OK Go, a band I love, Seawolf, who's going to be with you tomorrow night. They're on the soundtrack with a great song. Band of Skulls, who's also very good. There's also this Tom York song called Hearing Damage, which is, I mean, he's really been going in a super interesting direction lately with this solo stuff. And I think this is one of the coolest songs he's done in a while. That's on the soundtrack too.
I agree.
Yeah, it's good company for sure.
How did they contact you at first? She was interested, and then they said, "Just get a hold of them."
Alex Patsavas, who's supervising the project, we had known her for some years, and she kind of reached out to us and was like, "Hey, would you guys want to contribute a song to this thing?" We're like, "Yeah, sure."
Does
totally.
It basically come down to the people who are in charge of the music and just kind of who they know and like?
I don't know if I can necessarily comment on that. I think there's probably people whose jobs it is to kind of curate these kind of things, and that they have some level of influence. But I'm sure probably at the end of the day, it comes down to the people who created the thing in the first place to get to say
yes. I'd like
yes
to do that.
No.
If that job's available in any movie, I would like to be that person.
That's
like,
an awesome job.
I'd like to be. I'd like to have that job.
I'd
too.
Like to pick the music if you don't mind. That'd be cool. I'd do it for free, probably.
I have some friends who do that, and they say it's the greatest job in the world until you find out that every song you fall in love with is too expensive to be able to put in the movie, because you have a budget, and a lot of times it's a pretty small budget in order to try to get the songs,
Yeah.
Where was Death Cab in the spiral of Death Cabness? Were you guys, were you taking a break, or were you out there on the road, or writing for a new record, or what were you in the middle of doing when they contacted you?
Well, we were just kind of finishing touring our last record that came out in spring of 2008, so I guess in early summer, like June, July, we kind of got contacted about it, and we were just kind of getting off the road and went into the studio in the last week or so that we were kind of active on a daily basis. And I had written the song, and we all kind of worked on it and put it together and submitted it at that point. So this is kind of like a nice thing for us to have that's kind of like floating off into the world.
Your next CD has to be titled "The Spiral of Death Cabness."
Yeah, I think so.
Well, that's got a ring.
That's
to
the
it.
First suggestion, and
sometimes that's
the best one, right? Exactly. Yeah. You just gets drilled into your brain. It becomes that's the title.
Now, forever, when people hear "Meet Me in the Equinox," they're going to think of whatever's happening in the movie New Moon. But what did it mean to you before Twilight was involved? What was the song originally about?
I don't know. I mean, to me, it's just I mean, at its very base, it's really a love song. I mean, it's just something about, you know, you have meeting somebody on the equinox is just about meeting someone, you know, kind of leaving a large part of, you know, your baggage behind, kind of meeting somebody halfway and realizing that that, you know, the tagline of, you know, everything ends is just about realizing that we have to kind of be here now and that, you know, our time here is fleeting and to make the most of it. So,
see, Lisa, he's sweet and sensitive. See?
I know. He's the best kind of boy. Oh.
Making me blush.
You should try to be like him.
No, we're gonna, not going
to
happen.
Is it possible to be sweet and not sensitive or sensitive and not sweet? Is that an archetype that I'm unaware of?
Yes, you can.
You can?
And that's just a weenie.
How can somebody be sweet and then not? What would somebody say if they were sweet and not sensitive?
I think you can be sensitive and not sweet. I don't think you can be sweet and not sensitive.
Oh, so sensitive and not sweet would be like a James Dean type.
Hey,
like,
exactly.
You're like sensitive, but you're also kind of like
exactly.
You're a tough guy.
Hey, easily injured, hey, but Pete. Yes.
What's going on? How do we end up happening on Oprah Radio? Is that what you're asking?
What's happening right now and how do we get out?
We're having a conversation.
How do we get out?
It's a spiral of death cabinets. That's what's happening. All right. New Moon original music soundtrack is in stores now. The movie doesn't come out till the 20th, but the band is going to be at Hollywood and Highland performing the song that they'll do for us next tomorrow afternoon at 5:30. I'm very excited to hear a little acoustic version at this hour of the day with Death Cab for Cutie, and that'll happen right after this on the Kevin and Bean.
Love of mine, someday you will die, but I'll be close behind. I'll follow you into the dark, no blinding light, or tunnels to gates of white. Just our hands clasped so tight, waiting for the hint of a spark. If heaven and hell decide that they both are satisfied, and illuminate the nose on their vacancy signs. If there's no one beside you when your soul embarks, then I'll follow you into the dark. In Catholic school, as vicious as Roman rule, I got my knuckles bruised by a lady in black, and I held my tongue as she told me, son, fear is the heart of love. So I never went back. And if heaven and hell decide that they both are satisfied, illuminate the nose on their vacancy signs. If there's no one beside you when your soul embarks, then I'll follow you into the dark. You and me have seen everything to see, from Bangkok to Calgary. The soles of your shoes are all worn down. The time for sleep is now, but it's nothing to cry about, 'cause we'll hold each other soon in the blackest of rooms. And if heaven and hell decide that they both are satisfied, illuminate the nose on their vacancy signs. If there's no one beside you when your soul embarks, then I'll follow you into the dark. And I'll follow you into the dark.
Hey, who's that? We should have them in.
They're good. No, those guys are real good.
That's
cool.
Death Cab for Cutie is here. It's the world-famous K-Rock at 8:24.
That's a song right there from Death Cab for Cutie on the Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, I know you were marveling at the record collection here on the wall in the Kevin and Bean studio, and we were talking off the air about the great Rick Dees, who's unfortunately passed away sometime back. But the wacky parody songs that he used to do, are you a fan of the parody songs at all, Ben?
Like just in the Weird Al Yankovic sense of the parody song? Sure, why not? You know, I mean,
Have you heard many parody songs of your own work?
I haven't, but I have a friend who was in a band that was parodied by Weird Al, or not so much parodied, but was in one of the polka kind of songs. You know,
and the Polka Palooza, right? Yeah,
you're right. And he said, and I agree with this. It's like, you know, I think that once you've been kind of parodied or name checked by Weird Al, that's kind of a marker
you've
of
made
really
it, of
making
course.
It. That Absolutely. And being on The Simpsons, I think. If you can be on, right. if you can be parodied yes. by Weird Al and be on The Simpsons, that's kind well, of you can, that's pretty much you can call yourself a good career, basically.
We can't offer Weird Al. We're not that highbrow in the program. But since we were playing I Will Follow You in the Dark, we wanted to let you know that we actually have had, and Psycho Mike, you're just talking to in the plaid there, he actually did a parody of I Will Follow You in the Dark.
I wondered if
you'd do him the courtesy of listening to a little bit of it and see what you think.
Yeah, sure. Okay.
I'd rather not tell you the name. I'd rather
just play. Okay, yeah, play for me. Let's hear it.
Ooh, that smell.
See that?
The odor you'd find in hell when you eat Taco Bell. Then you lift your cheek and blast. Ooh, in air. Singeing my nostril hairs.
You want to hear more, or?
I think I've got the gist of it.
You got the gist of it?
I think I have the gist of it, yeah.
So you don't want me to continue?
I would actually ask you to not continue.
I'm just checking with you just to see.
He loves her so much that he will follow her after she farts. That's where that song was going.
Yeah, my favorite part was the fart sound.
Yes.
In case you didn't understand what was happening in the song, you go, what's the song about? Oh, yeah, there was a fart sound.
Sometimes
now I understand what's happening.
People don't understand
here.
What you mean by the word fart.
So you have to
exactly,
give
right.
them an example.
So in retrospect, at the end of the day today, you'll wish you hadn't heard that.
I thought you were gonna play a version that there's been one in the works that's been I Will Follow You Into the Park. You know,
that's not the same.
But no, that was little just a slightly more highbrow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Conceptual. Well, then
we'll be happy to burn you a version if you want to take it with
you. Okay, great.
You'll let us know, I suspect. All right. We have Ben and Nick from Death Cab for Cutie are here. The band is in town because, well, they're playing at Hollywood and Highland tomorrow night. They're going to be doing just the one song. I don't want to give people the wrong idea, but they are part of a much bigger show, including stars from the film Twilight New Moon. You're going to be there with Seawolf, with Anya Marina, with Band of Skulls, all performing live. It's going to be the event starts at around 5:30. I think you go on around 7:30 or so, and the tune that you're going to do tomorrow is the one that you are plugged in and prepared to try for us today, which is your contribution to the soundtrack called Meet Me on the Equinox.
That's correct.
Let's see what that's all about.
All right. All right, let's try that again.
Meet me on the equinox. Meet me halfway. The sun is perched at its highest peak in the middle of the day. Let me give my love to you. Let me take your hand. And as we walk in the dimming light, oh darling, understand that everything meet me on your best behavior. Meet me at your worst. For there will be no stone unturned or bubble left to burst. And let me lay beside you, darling. Let me take your hand. And as we walk in the dimming light, oh darling, understand that everything ends. As everything ends. As everything crawls across your bedroom. a halo, a waning moon, your last breath moving through you as everything, everything ends. Sun is perched at its highest peak in the middle of the day. Let me give my love to you. Let me take your hand and let our bodies intertwine, but always understand that everything, everything
sounded great.
Yeah, thank you. How big, okay. How big is that amp you have there? It's about the size of an iPod. Where'd you get that?
Maybe an iPod in like 2002.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
One of those huge iPods.
That's
know?
Cool.
I can't believe we look back at iPods from 7 years ago and think how ridiculous.
Like, and we mock that technology. Yeah,
you
yeah.
can only hold 3,000 songs.
Right.
And a thing
ridiculous.
The size of a pack of cigarettes.
That sounded fantastic. That is the stripped-down version of Meet Me on the Equinox. You can get the real deal on the New Moon original music soundtrack that is motion picture soundtrack that is in stores now. And the guys are going to be at Hollywood and Highland. We have all those details at kevinandbean.com. Hey, awesome of you to come in. We really enjoyed seeing you again and hearing you again. And we wish you nothing but the best over the holidays and whatnot. And let's catch up again soon, all right?
Thank you. Thanks for having me in. I like you guys a lot. So thanks.
Did you like it? You want the parody song? Or
no? Yeah, maybe you can email it to me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I don't have your email address, but I'll find it.
Yeah, I'm sure it's out there somewhere. Yeah.
No worries. Yeah, I'll get to it. We're going to give away some tickets for you, too, next. If you'd like to call 1-800-520-1067. They're coming next June 6th.
Yes.
Plan ahead, people.
Mark
that's
the
all
day.
I'm
and they're playing, like, what? They're playing the El Rey, I think, right? No, they're doing a smaller. They decided to do a smaller
whiskey.
Tour.
Whiskey,
yeah, right.
Angel Stadium, actually, is where they're doing it. But you can play a game if you'd like to. 1-800-520-1067. We'll do that next.
We are the Kevin and Bean Show on a Thursday. Why? Why are you sighing already? We haven't even done anything. What's
just
the problem now, Ralph?
This has been on the schedule now for 2 days, and our crack support team just got around to finding out whether we had the hilarious intro for it or not. It seems like that's
something... Well, we have to have the intro. We can't do the bit if we don't have the intro.
We don't have the intro.
Well, let's not do the bit.
It's the best, the best intro ever.
We'll do something else.
Sometimes the folks around here wait till 30 seconds before the on-air light goes on to check to see what's happening on the show.
Let's call a variable. I don't like the way the defense looks. Let's call a variable and do something else.
Seems bogus.
That was not the folks. That was all me. That was all my fault. I apologize.
You're who I was talking about. Yeah. I was trying not to single you out to embarrass you publicly.
All right. I believe Psycho we have Mike. It now if we would like to hear the fantastic
do we have
song.
The actual
yes,
intro?
We do.
Do you think Kevin can repeat this?
Nope.
Do you think Kevin can repeat?
Uh-uh.
Do you really think Kevin can repeat this? No, I didn't think so, neither do I. Do you think Kevin can repeat this?
No.
Do you think Kevin can repeat this?
No.
Do you think Kevin can repeat this?
No.
Remember ducks and all the time hands. Do you think Kevin can repeat this?
Right. No.
Let's all find out if Kevin can repeat this now.
Are giving you a chance
about?
To win tickets for you two at Angel Stadium on June 6th, 2010. Tickets go on sale this Monday morning at 10. Now, Ralph, what was the genesis of Can Kevin Repeat This? How did this game make itself known to us?
We were recording a promo, they call a breaker in the radio business.
That's right.
To tease the next day's show. And we had someone on, and we said, Kevin, just say that they're coming on to do this, this, and this. And Kevin could not repeat it. Could not hear us enough to repeat back what we had just said to him seconds earlier.
You know how with a computer, if you don't have enough RAM, it'll slow down and hold up and it doesn't do it. You need RAM for that short term. I have zero RAM.
It was like the star of the new TV series, Joe Blow. It's Steve Blow. And Kevin was like, Star, Blow, Joe, Steve, and it just didn't happen.
It's frustrating, that's right. But that's
all right.
The way my mind
works. So this is the way the game is played. You call us 1-800-520-1067. We get you on the air, and I guess, Ralph, you're going to be reading a phrase, and all the listener has to do is let us know whether Kevin is going to be able to repeat that phrase back in order, right?
Right.
Does that have to be identical? Can it just be the gist?
No.
These are short statements. Right. I think they have to be identical.
Wow.
Okay, well, let's give it a try and we'll see how it goes. I think we actually have two pairs. Is that right? We're going to have two winners this time around, I think. So,
exactly.
Okay, so Lisa May will do a drawing if we get more than two winners. We'll start and we'll take them in order and we'll start with Wayne. He is on line one on the Kevin and Bean Show. Our first contestant for Can Kevin Repeat This? Hey, Wayne.
Hey, how's it going?
How does this work? Does Ralph say it first and then he votes and then I try it? Or does he just vote first and then you say it and I try it?
No, I think you got it right the first time. I think Ralph says it so the listener can determine whether he thinks you'll be able to repeat or not, and then you say it.
So I have to take a beat while other
words
are said?
Yeah, I don't think it works that way. I think Kevin gets to say it right after I say it. So Wayne just has to go cold and just guess whether Kevin will be able to repeat a statement or not. They're all pretty much the same. Neither one's more difficult than another.
All right. Okay, Wayne, what do you think? You know Kevin. You've listened to the show. Will he be able to repeat the phrase that Ralph is about to read?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
No. Okay.
By the way, for anyone listening on the phone.
Hey, wait a minute. Just for the record.
That should be your default position.
You don't have to be rude about it.
To be a fallback.
Absolutely not.
Okay, here we go. Kevin?
Kevin?
No, I haven't started yet.
I'm going to read it now.
Stop now.
Stop now.
U2's first three albums were called Boy, October, and War.
U2's first three albums were called October, Boy, and War. What?
All right. Wayne, congratulations. You are in the drawing for U2 tickets. Well done, my friend. We move along to contestant number two. This is Daniel. Hi, Daniel. Thanks for calling the Kevin Bean Show. You ready to play?
Yeah, how you doing?
Good. What do you think? Yay or nay? Will Kevin be able to repeat his phrase?
Nah.
Okay.
At least this is not as confident as the last guy.
The band was formed on September 25th, 1976, and originally called Feedback.
The band was formed on September 25th, 1976, and was called Feedback.
Originally called Feedback is what we were looking for. Originally called. That's a pretty big word to leave out.
You guys are sticklers.
I forgot that word too, Kevin.
Thank you, Lisa.
Pretty
Daniel
close.
Said no, so he is in the drawing. So good news for the caller. Let's try Grant. He's on line three. Hey, Grant, what do you say? Yes or no? Will Kevin be able to repeat this U2 fact?
No, I don't think he'll do it.
All right.
F you all, by the way.
Among U2's pet charities are Amnesty International, the One Campaign.
Listen, I don't need to be mocked in the middle of it.
All right, let's give Ralph, let's let him start this one all over. Right. Give Kevin a chance.
Among U2's pet charities are Amnesty International, the One Campaign, and Product Red.
Among U2's charities.
pet charities.
Oh, pet charities.
Great,
Hang on, you're in the drawing. Thanks for playing. Can Kevin repeat this? Let's try Torin, line four. We're 0 for 3, or 3 for 3, depending on how you want to look at it. Hey, Torin, what do you think?
I don't think he's going to get it.
Yeah. All right, here we go. The U2 3D concert film was the first ever live-action digital 3D film.
Shut up, Lisa. Lisa's not on the mic, but she's like, ha, ha, ha.
I'm sorry. Say it again. I'm not.
I can't say it again.
That's
the whole point.
The U2 360.
The U2 3D concert film.
3D
really
concert film is what we're talking
All
about.
All right, Torrid. Thank you. You are in the drawing for tickets. Let's try Jerry now.
Does anyone care that I'm not enjoying this?
Not so much.
Okay.
You know, we broke Mike's spirit playing his parody song for Ben a minute ago from Death Cab. Now we're breaking Kevin's spirit. Like, one by one, we're all going to be just shriveled balls of shame by the end of the program today. All right, Jerry, how are you?
Good morning.
What do you think?
I'm going to say nope.com.
All right.
Nope.com.
That's way stronger than nope.
That is strong. U2 released Achtung Baby in 1991, and Achtung means attention in German.
U2 released Achtung Baby in 1991, and Achtung in German means...
Oh, so close. Achtung means attention in German. So, I mean, the spirit was there.
Yes.
The spirit was there. Ironically, exactly. All right, let's play this game the whole rest of the show.
Let's not.
Irving is on line six. Hi, Irving, what do you think?
Well, at first I thought so, but after the last few callers, I'm going to say no.
Here's my thing. Is
going
that
out
I,
on a limb.
I feel bad for the listeners. I want them to win.
Right.
You're
so
a sport,
I'm
Kevin.
Throwing it. I'm taking
you are
a dive.
Nice. You are
I'm taking
nice.
A dive.
U2 performed during halftime of Super Bowl 36, which the New England Patriots won.
U2 performed during halftime at Super Bowl 36, which the New England Patriots won.
I think
I'm
going to
say close
yeah.
enough.
He
said,
come on.
He said add instead of but yeah, I mean, that still. Was definitely yeah, the spirit and in the right order. We're going to give that to Kevin.
Yeah.
He got it.
Come on.
I'm sorry.
Plenty
I'm sorry, Irving.
Plenty good enough.
Yeah.
Sorry, Irving.
Sorry, sucker.
All right. How about one
no
more? Let's try Josh, our final contestant on line 7. Hey, Josh, thanks for hanging on. What do you say, yes or no for Kevin repeating this?
Not a chance.
Okay.
The Sovereign Republic of Ireland covers 5/6 of Ireland. The rest is part of the United Kingdom.
The Sovereign Republic of Ireland covers 5/6 of Ireland. The other part is run by England.
All right. We've got two winners coming up. Wayne, Daniel, Grant, Torin, Jerry, and Josh are all in the drawing. Lisa May, who's going to see you two June 6th at Angel Stadium? Tickets go on sale this Monday morning at 10.
Our winners are Grant and Josh.
All right. Grant, congratulations. You got the U2 tickets.
Thank you.
Way to go. F you.
<He's so laughing. laughs>
And Josh, you got the tickets as well.
Thank you, guys. Awesome.
And F you, and thanks for playing the game.
Do you think Kevin can repeat this?
No.
Do you think Kevin can repeat this?
No.
Do you think Kevin can repeat this?
No.
I don't think any of us are in the Hockey Hall of Fame yet, but we'll find out what that feels like with our guest Luke Robitaille coming up in just a few minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, Ralph's got another look at the showbiz beat for a Thursday. What's going on?
You're wrong. Actually, I am in the Hockey Hall of Fame. I am Bernie Parent.
I thought you were Inspector Clouseau is who I thought you were.
Guys, we have a problem.
What?
We have false friends. We have people who claim to be our friends and then aren't really our friends.
It takes a while sometimes to realize who's your real friend.
Let me tell you this story. It's been unfolding all week long. Remember Carrie Prejean, the former
yeah.
Miss California? Little Miss Holier Than Thou?
Yes.
Who's got her new autobiography out this week, by the way, called I'm Still Standing or something like that. As if she spent time in the Hanoi Hilton.
Now, wasn't she the one, the controversy was about a gay-themed question at the pageant,
right.
And then there was a dust-up, but then the pageant came out and said, we support her right to have her opinion, she
exactly.
gets to keep her crown, right?
Exactly.
I mean,
but then
she basically
just,
won.
Then she just couldn't shut the F up the way a good beauty pageant contestant should. And she started touring the country and standing up for political causes and not showing up to pageant events
exactly.
and cheesing off pageant officials. So eventually Donald Trump had to pull the plug and they took her crown. So she's suing the Miss California pageant
right.
for over $1 million this week for damages. What damages? I don't know.
She's suing them because they fired her for not showing up to any of their events?
Several of events. They had a long list of requirements that she did not fulfill.
All right.
And so she's suing them, and they're sitting down at the table with all their lawyers, and the people with the pageant say, oh, yeah, but keep in mind, we do have this to show that maybe you weren't the best Miss California. And they pop in an X-rated videotape
of her,
of Carrie Prejean, showing off her, I guess you would call, handiwork.
Sure.
It was a solo tape.
Sure.
Oh, wow.
It was her doing a monologue.
Right.
Like it. Like it very much.
The monologue was mostly her yodeling, from what I understand.
Is that right?
Yes.
She can do that?
So TMZ's covering the story, and they say, oh, we know about the video, by the way, because we've had the video for months now, but decided not to post it because it was just too graphic. And I'm thinking, Harvey Levin from TMZ.com was supposed to be our friend, wasn't he?
Right. Well, yeah.
And if you were a friend of mine, Kevin, and I like to think that you are, and you had such a video, wouldn't you say, hey, Ralph, why don't you take a look at this? You might
Absolutely.
Enjoy this. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying Harvey Levin is no friend.
Wow.
So I asked our producer, Alex, to get Mr. Levin himself on the phone.
Our former friend, Harvey Levin, a guy we used to like.
Hi, Harvey.
I knew you. You know what? When we put this story up, I just thought, I'm going to take such crap from you guys. Let's do it. Let's get it over with.
Let's not get it over with. Let's deal with this the way it should be dealt with, which is we are personally hurt and offended.
Okay, I know you are. And you know what? And I didn't intend that I would ever have to tell you this. But now that it's out,
yeah.
Guys, I mean, you're too dirty for me.
How? How dare you?
I thought you would wear that as a badge of honor.
Oh, actually. Yeah, I mean, yeah, thanks.
But if you've got a videotape of Carrie Prejean, the former Miss California, taking care of business on her own, how do you not share that with your pals?
It was too much, guys. I'm telling you.
No. It was too much for your businesses, for your website. And
No. Let's get real for a second. If you're going to attack me,
yes.
Let's get real. You don't really care at all. First of all, you guys are radio, so this has nothing to do.
Right.
Yeah, this has nothing to do with you guys playing it for your listeners.
Right.
What this has to do with is you guys wanted me to email you stuff.
Yes.
That's
and your point
is.
We're not claiming
right.
We wanted it for work purposes. This is a personal affront.
Okay, as long as you put that out on the table.
What good is it to have friends that behind the scenes have cool stuff if you can't have them send it over every once in a while?
We've played ball before.
I know.
Yes.
So what? So one little thing and suddenly you turn on me.
Didn't That's
you,
accurate,
didn't
yes.
You have a link on, didn't you have a link on your site, Harvey, with the Mini-Me sex tape?
It's, okay, can I tell you?
Yeah.
Very different.
All right.
Yeah, it's an ugly midget.
No,
former Miss California.
Guys, there's no way we could do that. I'm just telling you, there's no way we could put this on.
Okay.
Are you getting my point?
No, because we haven't seen it like you.
Okay, can you draw a picture?
Yes, we can draw a picture.
I can't even imagine what it could possibly look like, Harvey. That's the problem.
I mean, here's the thing. I mean, the interesting story about this, although I'm sure you're not interested, this is like,
nope.
This is like, you know, getting Playboy for the articles. The interesting story behind it is that they were settling this whole lawsuit thing between Miss Carrie Prejean and Miss California. And so they're sitting at a table last week, and she is demanding, I'm told it was $1.3 million.
Okay.
And that, you know, she's like on her high horse, and, you know, I want this money. And they said, well, we want to show you something. And they turned this thing around, and like 15 seconds later, it was kind of like, can you validate my parking?
Oh, that's awesome. Did they just show her the tape, or did they put it on and start playing it?
What I'm told is they showed her the tape, and it starts out where they're not on her face. And so the first reaction was, that's not me.
Sure.
Uh-huh.
And then the next reaction was kind of, that's not me. And then it pans up to her face, and it's kind of like, I gotta go.
Oh, that's me.
Did she say fantastic. Someone was filming her while the wind was blowing, and that's why they got those shots?
No, this is not a wind blowing
thing. Oh, okay. Harvey, you're not manly enough to deal with it, but will it show up on another site that perhaps we could keep our eyes open for?
Guys, come on.
Will it show up on a DVD mailed to our studio? Will it show up in Dave the King of Mexico's car who drives by your place? Come on, Harvey.
Oh, you know, I just knew it. It's so funny.
Throw us a bone.
The funny thing is I really did think about you guys when we put the story up.
Yeah.
Oh,
well, not
God.
Enough, apparently. You didn't think about it enough. This is not about business. It's just about, period, just we want to watch it for our own pleasure.
You can't, like, you know, look, I mean, we're trying to do, oh, you know, it doesn't matter.
We're not.
It's going to totally get lost.
No, you're trying to do the right thing.
Okay,
we're not.
Fine. Beat me up on this.
All right.
Are you done?
Yes.
Okay.
We're not done until we get a copy of the video. We'll be by your office today. That's all we're saying.
Okay, I'll see you later.
All right.
Thanks, Harvey.
Sweet.
All right.
Let's get over there and make a little requisition.
In air quotes.
That's right. Today's celebrity birthdays, Alexa Chung from MTV.
Hey!
By the way, if Harvey has any videos of her, I'd like to take a look, too, by the way. She's 26
on the list.
Years old today. Ryan Adams and Bryan Adams both celebrate their birthdays today. One's 35, one's 50. I'll let you figure it out. Johnny Greenwood of Radiohead is 38 years old today. Judy Reyes from Scrubs turns 42. Tilda Swinton, Oscar-winning actress, is 49. I think she's won an Oscar.
She sure has.
Yeah.
She won for Michael
Clayton.
Clayton, right? He's 49. Robert Patrick is 51. And Kevin Jonas of the Jonas Brothers celebrates his 22nd birthday today.
Hey, those Jonas Brothers are assholes!
Timing. Ralph Garman, I walk the show.
Greatest left wing in the history of the league,
Luke Robitaille.
I remember playing my first game at the LA Forum thinking, man, this is it, I made it.
Unbelievable shot.
Robitaille shoots. He scores.
He scores, and that's what he's done for 17 years.
And Robitaille again. He scores. Luke Robitaille just caught the goaltender.
sleeping.
My name is Luke Robitaille, and I play left wing.
Dude, if you could catch a goaltender sleeping, that's best case scenario. You know?
Yeah.
Literally dozing? That's great.
It's like free cake. Luke Robitaille is our guest back on the Kevin and Bean Show. Of course, we like to point out that he was drafted 171st in the 1984 draft, but he likes to point out, hey, I'm going into the Hockey Hall of Fame November 9th in Toronto, so he wins, I guess. How are you, Luke?
Good. I always feel when I hear this tape last time you guys play, I feel like people would think I just bring this and you go ahead and play my own tape.
Yeah. Well, we do the intro.
We do it. That's what we tell them before you get here.
We do it for other people as well, just so you know.
Okay, the same.
Now, let's talk about being drafted 171st, because that seems to be the key to the future of every team, is figuring out which guys are going to actually make a difference.
Right.
You were drafted 171st, and yet probably were more successful than the other 170 guys ahead of you. How difficult is that to...
You know, a lot of times it comes down to the mind and, you know, like who you are. And that's really hard for a scout to read a mind of a kid that's 18 years old. For me, like, no one knew, but I was willing to work harder than most guys, you know, and that's what made my success. And you guys know, and in the fourth round that year, I was picking the ninth round, the Kings picked Tom Glavine. Even though he said he would never play hockey, he was going to play baseball.
Wow.
He still picked that son of a gun ahead of me.
Great,
isn't it?
He said that's hilarious.
I'm not going to play hockey. He says, I'll play hockey.
And the Kings are like, yeah, we're not sure about you. Maybe this guy.
Oh, my God.
That's awesome.
And then, if I recall, they picked Mr. T in the seventh round, exactly. So that had to hurt. And then Florence Henderson in the eighth. So then you're thinking, what the hell? You know, I don't think we've ever talked very much about it, Luke. But I mean, you know, everybody who grows up loving a sport and playing a sport and tries to put themselves in a position to play professionally, I mean, that's very tense. I mean, you're sitting there hoping someone will give you the chance to prove that you can compete at that level. But what were you going to do if you didn't get drafted?
If I didn't get drafted, my next option in Montreal, at the time, you know, you got to remember, I didn't speak English. Like, this is my whole world was in French. And, and I was going to be either a policeman or a fireman.
Is that right?
I was going to be like my second or third option.
Something with a uniform.
That's right. Or it could have been working for my dad, but that wouldn't have been fun.
That's amazing to think about what a different life you could have had and how many other guys there out there who are out there who ended up going that other path because they just didn't get the break. They weren't in the right place at the right time or, as you said, you know, be able to convince somebody that you're willing to work hard enough to make it pay off for them.
Yeah, it's definitely you got to be at the right time, you know, at the right place at the right time, but the one thing is every one of us will get a chance in life usually, you know, and are you ready when it happens?
Right.
You know, I mean, for me, I knew my chance when I made the Kings. That was that training camp, and I made sure, like, I didn't take it for granted. Usually, sometimes you see kids, they're out of shape. I was in better shape than anyone else, you know, I wasn't going to miss my chance. And,
right.
And that's what it takes to make it. Like, anytime you're in entertainment, you got to be willing to do a little bit more than other people.
It's also not just the people who get drafted 171st. It's impossible to tell if the first round draft, second, third, is going to do well in the NHL.
Right.
It's really a gamble no matter what.
Yeah, the draft is a gamble.
Yeah.
And Luke, by the way, ended up winning the NHL Rookie of the Year, too, when he started playing in 1987, too. You have to have met people who had no backup plan, though, who were convinced that they were going to make it as professional hockey players, and then it didn't work out for them. I mean, that's so sad if you don't have the thought process of, hey, I got to have something else to do if this didn't pan out.
Well, yeah, I met a lot of those guys, and it's kind of sad. You know, some of them ended up playing in Europe sometimes for a little bit of money. They play 5 years, then they're 28. They really have nothing. You know, the funny thing is what I do now, being on the business side of the Kings, I get about one or two calls every week from guys that have retired. They're 32, 33.
Is that right?
And they're still looking for something.
They want to play.
Hard, you know. They don't want to play, but they, you know, they want to be involved with the game, and they don't really know what they're going to do. And it's hard because, you know, you play professional sports for 12, 15 years. The next thing you know, everything stops, and It's not the same money.
Sure.
You ever call up any of your friends that are in, I don't know, Disney on Ice and go, Hall of Fame, Hall of Fame, Hall of Fame, and you're goofy.
Disney on Ice.
I don't know what they do.
Disney on Ice.
How many opportunities are there for hockey players that don't play hockey?
That's a good point.
I never thought of that one.
What are the rules? How does it work on the Hockey Hall of Fame? How many years do you have to be retired to be eligible to get in?
In hockey, it's 4 years. And then the way it works, there's a panel of about 12 guys, and we don't know who they are. until your name, and then you find out who they were, the guys that were voting.
Oh, you find out afterwards.
Yeah, because so, you can't really
call them try,
play the political game.
Right.
So you must have gone in as a first round. I mean, it's kind of a no-brainer, right?
Yeah, this was my first year, so I went in, yeah.
I was surprised that Brett Hull wasn't already in the hall. He's going in with you this weekend.
Brett Hull, myself, and Steve Eisenman and Brian Leach, we all retired the same year. It was all our first year this year that we had a shot at it.
Oh, gotcha.
So we all got in the first time.
So what do you get when you get into the Hall of Fame? What do they send you, a certificate? Do you get a medal? Do you get a free parking space at the hall if you want to visit? What are the perks?
You get to go in for free at the Hall of Fame. Anytime Excellent. You get to go, you want to go around. The one thing I have to do is I'm giving them stuff, so they'll be there forever.
Oh, you know? I see. Like sticks and memorabilia.
Yeah, sticks and jerseys and stuff like that. So mom's sending pictures. You get a really cool jacket, you know, with the Hall of Fame design. Canada too. It's going to be a little stiff jacket, and then you get a ring. You get Hall of Fame ring.
Oh, nice,
cool.
So now that's one hall I haven't been to. I've been to a bunch of the professional sports Hall of Fames. I've never been to the hockey one. I'd love to go. But do you? Is it like with with football or baseball where you go in representing a team? Like, will you go in as a Red Wing or will you go in as a King or what?
You don't go in representing a team. I mean, in baseball, the reason they can do it is because the guy wears a cap. You know, when he does it. For us, you just go in and they write your career. It's actually, if you haven't been there, I mean, I know I hear the baseball one is cool, but the hockey one, because there's so much history, there's over 100 years, and where it is, it's in an old bank. So where all the pictures are, it's the hallway of the bank, and it's those old building in Toronto. It's really, it's an amazing place to go, and they have a ton of interactive games. It's pretty
Did
neat
Did you go
place.
There a lot growing up or whatever?
No, I went a few years ago just to see it because they had moved into the bank maybe 10 years ago. And then last year, a player I'd played with, Igor Larionov, was inducted. So I went to see it, and I was blown away how it was. It was pretty cool.
And it has to just, I mean, you know, you're a pretty modest guy, Luke, but I mean, in 100 years, hockey fans will go and read about Luke Robitaille. I mean, that has to make you feel, you know, kind of warm and fuzzy on the inside.
It's pretty neat. I mean, you think back, I mean, you're like, this is pretty cool. That in the jersey at Staples Center. One day I want to take my grandkids and go, yeah, look at that. Was someone
long time ago.
Now listen to me.
I'm guessing that your grandkids won't care.
That's right.
That's all right, Grandpa, exactly. Whatever.
Because of my kids. Certainly don't care.
Now, I find it funny, and I don't mean this to be insulting at all because I love my kids, but I do find it funny that your kids are not interested in hockey.
I know.
They're
That's really funny to me.
Not at all. I mean, tonight we're playing Pittsburgh, and I'm like, you want to go to games? Like, why? Why?
I'm like, it's Pittsburgh. It's Sidney Crosby. They won the Stanley Cup.
And they're just two of the best players in the league.
I know, and it's funny. Now they're totally not interested. They watch a few highlights of me, and they, you know, the other day he was like, "Hey, you were pretty good, Dad. You're not that goofy guy I see every day." There's just none, and they have their own interests. But it's great about, you know, I love that they have their own interests.
Yeah. Of course, it seems like it would be a surprise. Like if I were in the NHL, I would think my kids would be pretty interested in hockey at the least.
Yeah.
So none whatsoever.
That's funny. Luke will be inducted into the Hockey Hall of Fame coming up on November the 9th, which I believe is Monday, right, Luke?
That's going to be
Toronto. And when we come back, we got some more stuff we got to talk to Luke about, and we'll tell you about how you can come to an event that he's at where he's raising some great money for one of his charities too, at the Hall of Fame Gala. That's on the way too. More with Luke Robitaille right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're spending some moments with our friend Luke Robitaille, who will soon be in the Hockey Hall of Fame, inducted this Monday in Toronto. That's November 9th, along with Brett Hull and a bunch of other great guys that you know. It's neat that you're going in with some guys that you know too, that you're kind of friendly with. Too.
Yeah,
it makes you kind of a club.
That's right. Oh, you know, I played with every one of them. I was with the Ranger. I played with Brian Leach. And then when I won the Cup in 2002, I was with Brett Hull and Steve Eisenman. So it's going to be a lot of fun to be with those guys.
You've been doing a lot of press. This is kind of the victory lap when you go into the Hall of Fame, and everybody wants to talk to you, everybody wants to share memories. And I was doing a little bit of research last night, Luke, and I saw this interview on faceoff.com that really kind of surprised me because it's the only place that I saw anything about a tiny bit of controversy that has arisen out of your Stanley Cup appearance in Montreal. Game 2, something happened that was not widely covered at the time, but it sounds like people are asking you about it now. What's that all about?
You did research last night, huh?
He danced that.
Well, that was what? Is it that we lost the game? That was the illegal curve, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. This was the coach of the Canadiens called for a measurement of Marlon McSorty's stick, and it turned out to be out of league, right? I mean, it was...
Yeah, it was like, we're allowed, like, if you laid a stick on the ice, it's half inch, so you could take it's a dime, and you put it underneath. If it goes underneath, it becomes illegal.
You can't
curve the stick right. too much. In those days, today they changed the rule.
Oh, they did? Okay.
Yeah.
But the controversy, I guess, is what tipped him off? How did he know to call for an inspection of that stick? And that's kind of where you kind of were brought into the story a little bit, because apparently you know something and didn't want to say something, but now maybe you can. Or I was fascinated by this behind-the-scenes story from a Stanley Cup appearance that I hadn't heard about.
Well, the thing about it is... To call an illegal curve, it takes a lot of guts, because you if the curve is kind of opened up like a spoon, it looks illegal, but it always is legal. So to actually have the guts to call it in the Stanley Cup final, you have to be really sure, because if you're wrong, you get the penalty. Oh. So the game's over for them.
Wow.
So that's why no one ever calls it, especially in those days. So I know for a fact that they actually had the stick before they measured it, so they were sure. You know,
and
so.
How though? Yeah. But they're not, obviously they shouldn't be inspecting the other team's equipment. No pun intended.
In Montreal, the way it was is that it was an old building, and the two, you know, you have a bunch of spare sticks, and there's two stick racks, and they were facing each other, and basically the story that I heard, and I can't say who I heard it from, but it's a sure source, was they told one of the guard, look the other way. And they grabbed a couple of the sticks,
right?
and they measured them, yeah.
So they knew before they called them.
And the funny thing about the story is, like, the coach on the other side said, we just knew there were a couple of the guys, and, you know, like, we measured, because there's a fine line. There were 14 guys on our team that had illegal sticks.
Is that right?
But we didn't know. So usually what happens once you start measuring it, in the third period, if you're up by a goal, you just tweak your stick and make sure it's legal so you don't get called, because no one's going to call in the first period. It's a desperate move. And so we were pretty sure, like, everybody was okay. I wasn't aware at the time that Marty's sticks was illegal, but, And we know that, you know, they went in and measured it, and they knew. And the funny thing was, I was going to say, is the coach in Montreal says, all our guys' sticks are legal. And if there's a videotape, you could see when they call the sticks, and they pan out at our bench, and then they pan out at their bench. And then you see on their bench, out of nowhere, with a minute left, there's about six guys giving their sticks to the trainers, because then they're going to get their legal sticks. It's like suddenly five guys broke their sticks in the same time. Wow. It always made me laugh.
Has that ever happened in the finals?
I don't think it's ever happened in the finals that someone called us. I mean, this was a huge moment because, you know, they scored. It was a power play, and then they scored in overtime. I mean, we could have killed the penalty and won the game, you know, so it's not just...
So it was a turning point in the series. You guys had won the first game, then you lost the second game, and there's a big difference between being 1-1 and 2-0.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if we would have gone 2-0, we came back in L.A., totally outplayed them and lost both games in overtime. If we would have been 2-2 then it would have been a longer series. We always felt... The longer the series went, the better we were off, because we were used to traveling in day one.
Better your chances, you know? Yeah.
You know, you're so lucky. I mean, I know hockey has blessed you. You've had so many wonderful years with the sport, and you obviously still have a passion for it. But I'm so happy for a guy like you who had a heartbreaking loss like that in the finals, that eventually you were able to stay in the game long enough to win one. Because imagine how that eats away at guys that play a whole career, and sometimes even, you know, a great career, but don't win the cup. It has to be so tough to retire like that.
Yeah, that would have flat out sucked.
Yeah.
I got to be honest. I mean, because I remember in 93, we were so mad. We lost game five. You could hear, you know, there's nothing worse than losing it on the road, because you hear like the parade. I mean, everybody's
there. Yeah. Bean and I were there in 93.
Oh, I'm
sorry,
guys.
I thought we were going to die.
Yeah, and then they were shaking rioting. Our bus. There was a riot outside our bus. We thought our bus was going to flip.
Whoa.
I mean, we're dying outside. We're stuck on the bus, and there's like maybe like 15,000 people in the streets shaking our bus. And So, but I remember we were saying to each other, because we were very young, we had Rob Blake, you know, we had really young team, and we said, we'll be right back next year. And we didn't make the playoffs for like 5 years in a row after that.
Yeah,
and all of us went other places. It was, it's, you never know, you know, until you're there, how hard it is to get there.
You never know. I mean, yeah. You're absolutely right. I mean, it could, for many people, it's the only time they ever make it to the playoffs. Other people never make it to the playoffs. I mean, that's right. The crazy thing about sports. But man, what a career, Luke. And we're so proud of you. And, you know, you've been such a friend to us for so long, and we're so happy to see you going into the Hall of Fame. Let's talk real quick before you go about the Club Nokia at LA Live event. Now, this is in a collaboration with your Hall of Fame appearance. You're using that kind of to raise some money for charity.
Yeah, I mean, on December 5th, like I know the organization is going to do a night at the game. We play St. Louis, and then on the 6th, it's kind of a weekend where everybody's going to be in town, and we're going to do an event. I guess they call it either a gala or gala.
Gala.
Should be gala. Huh?
I don't know. Depends on the person you're talking about.
So my wife is like with our foundation, Echoes of Hope. She's working with the King staff and everyone and AEG, and then they're going to do like a night, and we're going to bring a bunch of old teammates. And I'm not supposed
That's
to know
cool. right.
anything about it.
Right.
Like, I'm trying to help her a little bit on selling the event, making sure people come. But the whole thing around it is a surprise. But it feels weird because it's about me. But then, like I said, it's basically my last hurrah. There's nothing left.
There's nothing left after that.
So it should be a lot of fun, though.
Right. Here's what I know. Before we go on, here's what I know about Luke Robitaille. Went to Las Vegas for their opening game.
That's right.
Played in his charity tournament.
That's right.
For Echoes of Hope.
Say it.
Guess who won? Guess who won the charity?
Say it.
Poker tournament.
Luke Robitaille. Sounds to me like Luke Robitaille won the charity.
That's right,
Luke
baby.
Robitaille.
That's right. We always play to win.
He won his own charity event.
Interesting. How
and you
about
know
that?
Who was the happiest out
I
of that?
I would like somebody to do a recount.
You know who was the happiest out of it? My wife, because the money she knew was going right to the charity. So she raised a lot more. I didn't have any choice. Oh. I didn't see a penny. It went right to the charity. So she was very happy.
And still it went to the charity, so it's okay.
That's right. Yeah. See,
that's
I cheated
funny.
For the right reason.
Yeah, that makes it okay.
Well, if you have been a fan of Luke's as we have, and you'd like to come out and be part of that very special night, December 6th at Club Nokia at LA Live, tickets are available to the public, and they're starting at just $20 and gives you a chance to rub shoulders with Luke and some of his highfalutin hockey friends and other people who have been important to you over the years.
Wait
Sounds
minute,
like
wait
it's going to be
a
great weekend.
If it's rub shoulders, then it should be called a gala.
That's true. That's an excellent point. Luke, congratulations, man. Great to see you again. Thanks for coming on the Kevin DeBean Show.
Thank you, guys. Thanks a lot.
Thanks very much. Hey! 106.7, K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 9:45.
Ow. Ralph Garman is here with the Showbiz Beat. You all right?
I heard myself.
Singing along?
Yeah, I think I did.
All right.
That's bad.
It's time for the Showbiz Beat with Mr. T.
Bit of the fool that strains his voice screaming, hey.
You know what time it is? It's time to hassle the Hoff.
It's time to hassle the Hoff.
Hoff.
TMC.com's got the story. Hoff apparently up in British Columbia over the weekend stopped by the Cascade Casino and proceeded to drink his weight in alcohol.
Wow.
Yeah, according to sources, he got pretty juiced up and then got into an altercation with an old dude.
Yeah, hi, this is David Hasselhoff, and I don't drink or take drugs.
Why is Hoff messing with the old people?
I don't know.
Apparently, three of the casino security personnel were called to the scene, and Hoff eventually had to be escorted away from the old gentleman. The shocking part is, TMZ.com claims just a mere couple hours later, he was seen at the bar, once again bending to the elbow.
Wow.
You don't want to give up.
No, hell. Look.
Back on the horse.
Especially when you're in a casino.
Right.
Because you get luckier the more you drink. That's what I've found in Vegas.
Yeah, that's right. Or you don't realize how much you're losing, one or the other.
I just get more and more money out of the ATM the more I drink. Yeah. You guys watch V on Tuesday night? V, the visitors, V?
I didn't miss that.
No.
Forgot it was on.
You people are weak. It was awesome.
I'm going to watch it.
Giant spaceships came over 29 cities around the Earth. And that smoking hot chick with the short hair talked to us.
It's based on a real story?
We come in peace, always. I was like, yeah, whatever. Peace is you. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, I wish you'd written it.
14 million viewers tuned in to see the show, and it's a smash hit for ABC. Four more episodes will be shown before they get interrupted by the Winter Olympics. Dudes skiing and shooting at plates. Good times. And then it'll be back on again. So,
Ralph, it seems to me like there's time to play more than four episodes between now and February. It shouldn't be that hard.
Listen, I'm not Mr. ABC. I'm just telling you what
I
they tell
you
me.
Were.
Four episodes will be shown on ABC before being interrupted by the Winter Olympics. The remainder of the first season will be shown after the Olympics, which means March 2010, by the way.
All right.
So... that's the word from ABC.
Tough way to get some momentum for a show.
That's
but okay.
what I'm thinking. It's going to be a long interruption, but what are you going to do? Hey, remember when Courtney Love sued Guitar Hero 5?
Yes.
Saying she didn't like the fact that you could take the Kurt Cobain avatar and sing other artists' music with it.
You could make that your avatar.
You could play Kurt through the whole game, regardless of whether it was a Nirvana song or not.
Yes.
She was cheesed off and sued Activision. For that fact, well, apparently, No Doubt feels the same way. They are suing Band Hero for taking their virtual images too far. Apparently, they don't like the fact that Activision made it possible for you to be Gwen Stefani and then sing, let's say, the Rolling Stones' Honky Tonk Woman, for example.
Really?
The band claims they don't like a virtual Gwen singing a song about prostitutes with a male voice and would like you not to be able to have that option when it comes to playing the game. So, we'll have to wait and see how that shakes out in court. And MTV has announced what will be going on for their big Europe Music Awards. Every year they do a video music awards show in Europe as well. And Katy Perry has been announced as the host of that event.
Is that right?
Let's see. Who hosted it here in the States? I'm trying to remember. Oh, Russell Brand, her boyfriend?
Yes.
What a coincidence. The awards will be telecast live around the world. Except here in the United States. Then it'll be shown at a later date on MTV US. Lady Gaga and Kings of Leon lead the pack with five nominations each for the European Awards. So,
hope she hires somebody else to step in for her and accept the award.
Lady Gaga?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not attractive.
Big highlight of the show, apparently, will be U2 doing a 20-minute concert in front of the Brandenburg Gate in Berlin, Germany.
All right.
10,000 fans will be there to commemorate the fall of the Berlin Wall nearly 20 years ago. So a lot going on in Europe these days with their walls and whatnot. And in movie news, they're making a movie out of the board game Risk. Apparently Hasbro has sold the rights to Risk to Sony Pictures, and we'll be getting Risk the movie soon. Those who don't know, Risk is a game about world domination. You have to move your troops and stuff across the board and try to conquer other countries and continents.
Right.
So that'll be that in that movie.
Well, that's what's going to happen.
I never even played Risk as a kid.
Me neither. I don't know that game at all.
Deadly dull to me. Just seemed like it was just one step above Dungeons and Dragons as far as I could figure it out. Didn't have magical elves or anything, but it seemed like a lot of, ooh, my troop just kicked your ass. No, not really. They're just plastic pieces. It's like moving into a hotel in Monopoly.
Yeah.
Let's take ourselves too seriously, shall we? Mini-Me's got troubles.
Uh-oh.
One of his ex-girlfriends, this is Vern Troyer, of course, we're talking about, is claiming that Mini-Me is threatening her life. And she lives in constant fear. Yvette Monet is her name. I can tell you, I've never seen this broad, but I can tell you she's hot. Her name's Yvette Monet.
Yeah, that's a hot name. No kidding.
And she used to... hang around with Vern Troyer. Inexplicably, he's always got smoking hot babes around him.
Chicks and midgets. Bam!
Absolutely.
It's true.
She's got a restraining order claiming that Vern continues to harass her with emails, phone calls, and what she's calling awful messages, calling her a whore and other names.
Well, let's not judge too quickly. Is she a whore?
If the vagina fits. She says that Vern's got friends who carry guns and will do anything he says. I'm afraid.
Beware of the midgets. They're taking over the world.
I'm afraid for my life.
He'll do anything he says.
Well, he's got that scooter. He's got that powered scooter. How can you resist? He's intimidating. He wheels up to you.
Hey, you better do this, or I'll run you over.
That's awesome.
Yeah, midgets are scary, man.
That's a human being. I know it's a midget, but it's still a human being, I think.
That's right. Today's celebrity birthday is Robert Patrick from The X-Files. He's 51 years old today. Bryan Adams is 50. Ryan Adams is 35. Johnny Greenwood of Radiohead turns 38 years old today. Dave the King of Mexico put on my list Corey Nemec. who played Parker Lewis in Parker Lewis Can't Lose.
No.
Wow. I believe that's right on my list for celebrities. That's unacceptable. He's 38 years old anyway. Kevin Jonas of the Jonas Brothers celebrates his 22nd birthday today. I wonder how long he's going to keep up that chastity thing. Imagine being 22 and still never have enjoyed the pleasures.
I'm guessing a couple years ago.
Pleasures of the flesh.
Is what I'm
guessing. Think he gave it up already?
He's
a liar.
Wouldn't you think?
He's a liar and a hypocrite after calling Kevin Jonas on his birthday?
Wouldn't you think?
Nice.
I would think, yes.
Nice.
Thank you, Lisa. Yes.
And MTV host Alexa Chung celebrates her 26th birthday. Easy bean. Just drain something. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, all-new Kevin and Bean Show. Alex Borstein will be here talking about the Family Guy and the special that they're doing.
She's Lois, don't you know?
We have U2 tickets to give away. We have Penn Jillette in the studio.
Nice.
We have Adam Carolla in the studio.
Yay.
We have the director of Paranormal Activity on the program. We have Movie Beat. It's it's too big a show. And more tickets for Twilight New Moon. All tomorrow morning on the Kevin and Bean Show.
All right, don't go away, though. Cat Corbett's up next with 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock music, including some Metallica, also MGMT. We got Linkin Park, the new one from 30 Seconds to Mars, Rise Against, Percussion Gun from White Rabbits, and more straight ahead right after this on K-Rock.